much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, sh**. We're gonna do this.
Yeah.
We're gonna do this even though we know there is only one way this ends. Whether in a week or 20 years, there is horrible sadness and pain coming, and we're inviting it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
But neither of you has a job.
You cannot have a job and still hate Mondays.
Like Garfield.
Like Garfield, Jimmy. It's Garfield.
You know, I think we can send a message and say, you want to be in America? A, you better be here legally or you're out of here. B, when you're here, let's speak American.
You are a white Rodney King, a hero.
Alexa, play a siren for 30 minutes.
I am going to blow all your f***s.
Hunga bunga.
And now, so excited, our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it's for a Monday, the 20th of August. Miss Allie McKay.
Hello.
Mr. Jens Karp.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Chip.
Hi, Bean.
How was everybody's weekend?
I relaxed and did nothing, and I've been looking forward to it for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I did what every weekend you hope to do, which is get ready to start moving your place.
Yes.
It's both cathartic and sort of a nightmare.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But started the process.
The purge.
Yes, the purge.
You do realize anytime you move that you do not need or use roughly 80% of the possessions in your house.
Yeah, and you start questioning your whole life. Like, why am I still buying Blu-rays? You know what I mean? Like those kind of big philosophical questions start
Absolutely.
To
rise. Yeah.
And you just sort of think your whole life is BS.
Yeah. It opens up a whole conversation to be had with yourself.
It's a crisis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The old Carlin bit, one of his most famous, George Carlin, late comedian, used to talk about how the house was just, you needed a bigger and bigger house because you had more and more stuff. It was a place for your stuff. That's what the bit was called. And it's so true.
Yeah. I love getting rid of stuff, though. I'm good at it. Yeah, I'm good at it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm like, why do I need this Space Jam cookie jar? It's just questions like that that plague my Sunday.
Yeah.
My wife questions why I have like 1,000 t-shirts because I can't bear to let any of them go.
Yeah, no, I collect t-shirts like a weirdo. Mm-hmm. I sometimes at concerts get both the official shirt and the $5 one from the parking lot.
You're okay. A bootlegger.
Yeah, I don't need both, but
no,
I get
you
both.
Don't. Sure.
But Jensen is a guy like me who seems to wear a different t-shirt every day of the year, too.
Yeah, I don't miss. I you've asked me to step up, and I do those things. And I do it mostly in t-shirts.
Chip, you had the best weekend of all, I think. You lived your rock and roll dreams, right?
I'm pretty sure in Green Day now, guys.
Mm. Yeah. Tell us about that. Tell us about your Trey Cool encounter.
So we had Feedback Fest on Saturday at the Wayfair, and apparently Trey Cool is a local. He lives around Costa Mesa, and him and his wife just showed up for the show and watched like three of the bands, and it was awesome.
Wow. This is Chip's band, Well Flung Fart, for folks who are unfamiliar with that.
William Hung Hart,
right. Yeah. So you look up. Now, is that distracting for you when you're on stage and you realize, hey, there's a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer staring at me?
A little bit. Like, well, we saw him, like, he got there earlier, so we're making jokes like, hey, he's here. Let's see if he stays. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know if he was there to see that. Because Alice Bag, who's a L.A. like punk icon, she was playing before us. So we're like, okay, maybe he came to see her. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll bug out after that. But yeah, so we started playing the show, and he was like standing 4 feet in front of me, just like rocking out and like cheering along and stuff. It was
nice.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's very cool.
It was super cool.
That's Trey Cool.
Nice.
Would it have been devastating if half a song in, he would have just rolled his eyes and turned and walked away?
Just like, nope.
Or just like vomited. Like a couple hooks in. And then he just leaves.
That's quite the reaction. Although, wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Right?
That
like,
would be
we made Trey cool.
Four cool, everybody.
I tried. I don't know.
Four cool? I heard last week when the cat's away puns. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of last week, we were talking to who's that guy? The blonde guy used to be on the show.
Does it ring a bell?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Ken? Was it Ken?
Ken.
Kenneth?
So
Kenneth.
Maybe it was Kenneth. When Kenneth was when he used to be on the show, and by the way, he'll be back tomorrow. I kid. We were
Kenneth?
Talking about. I think it was. I think it was. Could have been Kevin?
Kerwin?
Kurt. Kurt.
Yeah. We were talking about how he loses his key card to the building once every couple of weeks. And I said, hey, Kevin, don't forget there's that company that we read about where they just put a chip in your hand and they not only use it to get in and out of the building, but they use it for a million different things. And
right.
He said, like a lot of people said, no, I'm not interested in something like that. Well, just by sheer coincidence, an article came out in Technology Review on Thursday about this company and how they have continued to expand this program. The company is called Three Square Market. It is a technology company that provides self-service mini markets to hospitals and hotels and company break rooms. And this is their technology, is you put a chip in. There are 80 employees now out of 250 that have the chip in their hands at River Falls, Wisconsin. So, for instance, you're there and you want a soda, Allie. You want a Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. You just go up to the break room and just walk up to the thing and hit the button. And it radio frequency just debits it from your account. And you get your Diet Dr. Pepper and you walk away. You don't put any money in. You don't have to push any buttons. You don't have to do anything in terms of paying for it. That's one of the ways that you use it.
This is a dystopian Tom Cruise film.
Yeah, I don't like any of
this. This ends up with your hand attacking your face. You know what I mean? Like, at one moment, you're like, oh, I got the pretzels easier. And then next thing you know, you're warding off choking.
Yep.
Look, with every new technology that comes along, there is always the danger that somebody is going to abuse it somehow or it is going to get away from us. I mean, I'm sure people thought when credit cards came around, people thought, I don't want anything to do with credit cards. That doesn't sound nearly as safe and secure as cash. And sure enough, people have figured out a way to rip off your credit cards, right?
But I didn't need surgery to have a credit card.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think this is a 1 second deal. It's the size of a piece of rice, and all they do is just like getting a shot. They just boop, put it right under your skin, so it's easy in, easy out. If you change your mind,
it knows what you're doing on the weekends, mm-hmm. knows when you're sleeping.
Yeah, they're following everything.
Well,
they're
I'm sure Conspiracy Alley is convinced that they somehow also have a camera and they can see what you're doing in your whole life.
The frogs are gay.
So Patrick McMullen is the head of this company, and he got the idea back in 2017 to start a company like this. He was on a business trip to Sweden, where apparently it is very popular and very common in Sweden. People use it to get in and out of buildings, to book train tickets, to do all sorts of stuff, to do shopping, to go grocery shopping. Imagine if you could go grocery shopping with nothing but your hand, for instance.
I'm not feeling much better about it. A wallet.
Yeah, it's not like it's a huge ordeal to bring a credit card somewhere.
I've never been like, back pocket, got to pull out the Amex.
Too much. I'm just going to stay home.
How about this? We've had conversations recently about people who can never remember their passwords. They have to change them frequently, and it's a pain in the butt.
That's why all of mine are 1, 2, 3, 4.
Easy.
No more passwords, you guys. You get to the office, you sit down, it reads your radio frequency, and it logs you onto your computer.
Don't you remember we had James Gunn in for the Belko experiment? Mm-hmm. This is the Belko experiment. Heads exploded, Bean.
Well, they did press a button and blow up half the people who worked there. That's true. And in case you're wondering, by the way, you don't have to take them out to put batteries in. They get their power from an RFID reader.
They have to you charge through your butt.
Oh, no. I don't like this at all.
Yeah. Plug it in.
It sounds like, once again, I have brought you cutting-edge technology that makes the world a better place, and you guys are poo-pooing it.
It doesn't sound safe. Mm-mm. We have pushed the limits too far. Our overlords are for sure going to take over soon. Right. At some point, I will walk over with this chip in my hand, mm-hmm. try to microwave a burrito, open up the thing, and then the microwave will just attack me. We're minutes away from some sort of catastrophe by going too far.
And just by having it, we're hours away from an 11-year-old hacking your wrist.
Yeah.
And buying all sorts of stuff with it.
Oh, I see.
Like
I
that
gotcha.
Awful Seth Green film, Idle Hands. Was that it?
That was it. That was exactly it.
That was what that movie's about.
Great soundtrack, terrible movie.
Never seen it.
All right, so I'm going to put you guys down as a maybe then.
I don't want a chip. K-Rock, please don't give me a chip. I'm here in passing. I'm helping this whole group, and now you want to put something in my hand.
I hate it.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Pooped my pants.
Well, that's your problem, Jensen. We've still got to talk about the program here. I'm actually very excited because I was late to the party on this this Caboo Del Mar Music Festival that mm-hmm. is coming up. We took a look at the lineup last week, And I was shocked that in one day you can see Everclear, Candlebox, and Better Than Ezra all on the same bill. I mean, right?
Oh, right. Boy.
And let's not forget, at the top of the bill, you've got everybody from Foo Fighters to Imagine Dragons to the great Robert Plant to Katy Perry to Post Malone to Halsey to Wiz Khalifa. I mean, NERD, the list goes. Incubus, Earth, Wind, and Fire, all of that in one festival. It's amazing. We're going to give away tickets starting at 9 a.m. this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show and then throughout the day at noon, 3, 6, and 9. All right. Also on the program. Did you get in line for the Coca-Cola sneakers, Jensen?
No, but I saw the line, and guess what? I did buy a hat online before it sold out.
Okay.
It's Kit. Yeah. It's a company that, right, we'll talk about it later.
The topic is the dumbest thing you waited in line for. Apparently, there are lines going up all over Southern California for stuff you don't want, but some people do. Monday means great news on the program today. Allie has a new hero. There's a guy who has become a neighborhood vigilante. When it comes to other people's dogs pooping in his yard.
Yeah, he's going to be everybody's hero. Unless you're a bad person that lets your dog poo all over the place.
He has figured out a way to fight back. We got a new game called Warped Tour Band or Twilight Zone episodes. I'm very excited about that.
They're the same thing.
Jensen and Allie had a conversation off the air on Friday about none of their parents have any idea how social media works. And I found it adorable, by the way. Adorable.
Well, that's because it's not your parent.
So we'll discuss about that. Also, our old friend Rob Corddry is going to be stopping by, who's making some curious career choices. He's still got the ballers, but somehow he also has a movie called Dog Days.
And I hope those dogs don't poo on yards.
We
got
too.
A vigilante ready
I'm
for you.
Just saying. The movie looks adorable. Don't listen to Bean.
So we will talk about all of that. Allie's got her first look at what's happening when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Hey, Allie. What's happening? Allie, what is happening?
That's a guy who missed you over the weekend, Allie.
Oh, I missed him.
He is dying to get caught up.
Well, I'd love to tell him about the box office. Do you think he'd like to know about that?
I'm sure he would. I'm sure that's one of the reasons he tunes in.
Well, Crazy Rich Asians has posted the biggest opening for a romantic comedy in 3 years, with a $25 million weekend total and a $34 million five-day opening. Wow.
It's incredible.
Awesome.
So happy for our friend John Chu.
Absolutely.
And friend Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in it.
He
Not
sure
just because
is.
He's Asian. I wasn't being like a jerk.
That would be so weird if he just like, named a random Asian guy.
Yeah, no, I wasn't like, congrats Kevin Wang, who I went to high school with. Like, it's not, I didn't just like shout people out. He's in the film.
Okay. Excellent.
Thanks.
Happy for him, too.
Yeah.
How much do they hate Daniel Day-Kim, that he's not in this movie, by the way. I just assume because every Asian actor in Hollywood is in this film that the ones who didn't get in it, like Sandra Oh, are on some sort of S list.
Lucy Liu?
Where's Lucy Liu? Great question.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, we've just named everyone that's not in the film that's Asian.
You do know that a lot of people didn't actually try out for this movie or weren't asked to be in this movie. There are a lot more Asians in the world of acting than
really?
We really know about. Yeah.
Well, hopefully this will open that up. That actually is sort of the best thing, is that there are no, it's true, there's no Asians in mostly in television or movies, and this is a huge step in a sense that finally Hollywood will look for some of those names.
Absolutely.
Also, maybe Kevin Wang from my high school. He probably is great.
Is he an actor?
No, he was a football player, but if he wants, he could just jump into a film now.
I hope he does.
Me too.
I miss Kevin Wang. I don't know Kevin Wang.
No.
In second place, The Meg, which appears to be on solid ground because it's in the ocean, with a $21.5 million second weekend and a 10-day total of $84 million. Not bad. In third place, the Mark Wahlberg thriller Mile 22, falling well below expectations with a $13.6 million opening. And then a tie for fourth, Mission Impossible Fallout, along with a survival story called Alpha.
I wonder if Mark Wahlberg finds it as ironic as I do that he was beat by Asians this weekend.
I see what you did. I see what you
Flip
did.
A fortune, friend.
That is a deep callback
a
right
deep
there.
Callback. Yeah. Either way, should have laughed at my jokes.
And I'd also like to point out, though, he poo-pooed you, but maybe if we had seen Mile 21, we would have been more inclined to go see Mile 22.
It's possible. It's possible.
But like you said, they are all part of the 8 Mile universe.
That's right. And,
so,
and if you've seen one, you should see this one. And
agreed.
No one cared.
Agreed.
They should have made that clear in the ads.
That's right.
Very true. Kevin Spacey's first film project since being accused of sexual misconduct, The Billionaire Boys Club.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Box office dynamite.
If by dynamite you mean they should blow up anything that he's in from now on, probably. It opened in just 10 theaters and made $126. That means that, less than 2 tickets were purchased in each theater.
Do you know how difficult that is? That's more difficult than getting millions of dollars. It's harder to not make any money.
And the fact that both Taron Egerton and Ansel Elgort, both two very hard names to say, are wonderful actors.
Yeah.
And both in it, and still no draw to that movie.
I also think the title Billionaire Boys for a Kevin Spacey film
Turns
is somewhat
right away.
Problematic.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, how much do you think was this people who were literally staying away because Kevin Spacey was in it, and how much of it was just this movie was not advertised at all? Most people never heard of it, didn't know what it was, so therefore when they got to the theater, they said, oh, I haven't even heard of that one. I'll go see Crazy Rich Asians.
These have to be homeless people looking for shelter. Like, there's no one who's just like, I'll take one for Kevin Spacey, please. $12.60 is a large popcorn. You know what I mean?
It's like, true.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I had not even heard of this movie. Had no idea.
I knew
he
had one in the chamber.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is that one.
This is it. Well, I feel like maybe it's not going to open in a lot of theaters after that showing.
What if it's the greatest movie ever? Like, legitimately, right? It is the best movie ever made.
It's like our generation Citizen Kane.
Yeah, and we have to deal with it now. That's a good movie. Like, the best movie of all time is out, but it's a alleged child molester. And, I mean, that kind of happens with Woody Allen a lot. Annie Hall might be one of the best comedies ever made. But, boy, do I not want to ever say that out loud, because he's garbage.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's one of the best comedies ever made.
Hot Take Jones has arrived.
Yeah, he's here. He's here. Some birthdays for you. Amy Adams, honestly, why is she not winning every award or any?
She's been nominated for, what, like 5 Academy Awards, I want to say?
She's amazing in
everything. She'll win an Emmy for this Sharp Objects for sure.
Well, she better. Is all
She's
I'm saying.
Amazing in it.
She's such a lovely, lovely human.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know her, but she seems lovely. And happy birthday to Al Roker. Speaking of pooped your pants.
That's right.
Robert Plant, former lead singer of Led Zeppelin. It's so sad when I just have to read he's the former lead singer of Led Zeppelin, because he's still the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, right?
I would hope.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Andrew Garfield, Demi Lovato, KRS-One, and Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit.
It's almost depressing that you said KRS-One and then followed it with Fred Durst.
Yeah, it was like a high and then a low.
And a low. Your two favorite rappers.
And that's what's happening.
A Monday tradition on the Kevin and Bean Show is great news. Have that coming up for you in about 15 minutes or so here on the show. Hey, happy National Radio Day, you guys.
Oh.
Kind but, of trailed I mean, off there.
How will you be celebrating?
I'm celebrating by doing a radio show, which is kind of the best way you can celebrate National Radio Day.
I guess.
It's a big day for me. I don't mind telling you. I already trailed off because I realized as the words were coming out of my mouth that nobody cares.
I mean,
not
I
one
do.
Person. Thank you, Jensen.
I'm going to listen to Broadway Bill Lee lead-ins all day.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to do.
Excellent.
Good for you. Yeah. Speaking of our friend Jensen Karp, by the way, give out your Twitter and your Instagram for folks who want to follow you, Jensen.
Well, I've appreciated sitting in. This has been a good time. At JensenClan88, that's with a C because I'm not racist. It's just J-E-N-S-E-N Clan 88. Yeah.
Okay. And you brought up something Friday off the air that we all thought was hysterical.
Yes.
And that's that I imagine you're very close to your mother, I imagine.
Yes. My nickname in high school was Mother, which is probably something I shouldn't say on the radio.
What?
But yeah, my mom and I were friends and people thought it was weird that I was always hanging out at home. And so I got a nickname with Mother.
A close Jewish family, and with a wedding approaching, I'm sure you're hearing a lot from mom.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the problem?
She's a real S poster on Instagram and Twitter. She's a great mother, one of the best mothers, but probably the worst person on social media that's ever existed. She's terrible.
And because she doesn't know how to do it, or she's just talking smack.
She's just like, she's just awful at it. Like, she's very bad. Like, she'll post just a big picture of a Bitmoji of her, and she's holding flowers, and she'll be like, have a good Sunday, which, like, doesn't help anyone or bring anything to the table. If you want to see her Instagram or her Twitter, it's at Haroldine, H-A-R-O-L-D-I-N-E. That's just her first name. Mm-hmm. And it is the worst. It's the worst journey you can have on social media. For example, one time, I was just looking at my phone, and on Twitter, it just tweeted, hey, and that's weird, publicly.
Right.
Just a tweet that said, hey. And then another one that said, how's your weekend? But this is just public.
Yeah, she's not adding anybody. It's just, this is just a...
just thoughts. Yeah. And I thought to myself, is that on purpose? No, that can't be on purpose.
Right.
And then I don't say anything. And then a couple minutes later, she says, how's your stomach doing? And as we know, is a man who pooped his pants once for Yoshinoya. That comes up a lot in my life. And then I realized quickly... it's talking to me.
She's talking to you.
But she thinks she's texting you.
Or I think she thinks she's DMing, or I don't know what she thinks she's doing. But the point is, it's not right.
Right.
She's doing it publicly.
Right.
And I don't, it just kind of goes in, kind of out in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I don't think about it much. And then the next day I wake up and I look down at my phone and it says, hey, gents, which is what she's called me since I was little.
Right.
Hey, gents, ran into Becca's mom at the bank.
Oh, no.
You were right. She was anorexic.
Oh, no.
And then it said, but she's doing okay. End tweet. New tweet. An Armenian boy she was dating beat her up once.
No.
But she's not dating him anymore. Anyway, call me later.
Oh, no.
Two tweets back to back.
And this is out there for the world to see.
For the world to see. I'm panicking. I call her. She realizes it as well. She's panicking. Bless her heart. She's almost crying. Oh, God. How do I fix this? I said, did you delete it? She said, yes. She says, now they won't see it. I said, that's not how it happens. Now it's in her phone, right? So, like, it doesn't just erase at all. Like, she can just see it if she's looking at Twitter. And my mom goes, well, how do I get rid of it? I go, I don't know. Maybe if it gets out of her timeline. And she goes, okay, all right. And then she hangs up the phone, and then she just tweets, how's the weather? The weather's good. Everybody, this weekend, come on. I'm working. Like, she just starts tweeting ridiculous thoughts to try to push the other one down. And the end of the story is that the woman calls. Her, their friends still, but it was a bit of an issue for a moment.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my
gosh. Bless her heart.
She's awful at social media.
Oh.
Great at mothering, though.
Love it.
Allie, your folks are, they're young enough to be into social media, aren't they, I would imagine?
They are, but they aren't
mostly
into
Facebook?
It. No. Absolutely
no
not.
Oh,
no.
All parents' Facebook.
No, my parents hate it. Oh. They think it's ridiculous. They don't think anyone should share anything. Typical, you know. Irish and Scottish people are you sharing stuff?
But look, I'm not on Facebook, so I'm the last person to defend it. But I thought it's specifically made for old people to keep in touch with their friends that they've known forever to see how they're doing and keep up with their kids that live in other places in the country.
Yeah, my parents are young enough they should be on it, but they're also old school enough that they never will be on it, which is interesting. However, they take it to a whole new level on emails. Because they'll send me an email with nothing in the body of the email, just two words in the subject line. Nap time. And then about an hour later, I'll get another email. Over. Just alerting me that they're going to take a nap. Just no need to call. They're going to be otherwise busy. But to get emails every single day that say, nap time. And do then an hour later, over.
Do they text?
No.
No, this is their text.
No, this is their text.
Huh. And is the purpose of that to brag, or is the purpose of that so that you don't call them while they're sleeping?
It's so I don't call, but I think it's also a we can nap. We're retired.
Do you ever get poop time?
Letting me know they're pooping?
Yeah.
No, they'll take the phone in.
Poop. Done.
Done. Finish.
Oh, parents are delightful. At least you guys have some.
Oh, I have one. I mean, two?
I've got two.
It must be nice, Allie.
Oh, wow.
Great news is next on K-Rock. Win tickets to see that band and about 50 others at the Cabo Del Mar at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. It's a great music festival. 9 a.m. this morning. We got your tickets here on K-Rock. Another chance to win at krock.com. By the way, Allie, I know you're a big Dodgers fan. Jensen, how about you?
I'm a fan. Yep.
Did you happen to follow?
Yeah, big fan.
Convincing himself.
Jumping up. Big fan. Always going to games. Always loving that baseball.
Did you guys?
They're scoring hits, scoring runs. Love it.
Did you happen to follow the series this weekend?
No, I didn't watch. No, I did. I followed them on Instagram, so I see final scores. But
let me give you the 15-second recap of the Dodgers weekend. And this is very painful for me, but I have to give them credit because I am a Seattle Mariners fan for 20 years now. And the Mariners are actually only 4.5 games out in their division right now. They have a chance of making the playoffs for the first time since 2001. So every game matters right now for me, okay? So the Dodgers come to town, interleague play. Friday night, L.A. wins 11-1. I'm not feeling great about Seattle after that. 11-1 Friday night. All right. Saturday, tie game 4-4 in the 10th. The Dodgers balk the winning run.
It's unbelievable.
Which you almost never see. It's only the 11th time it's ever happened in Major League history. Bases are loaded. Pitcher screws up his, screws up his delivery, and it is called a balk. Game over. And I'm thinking, well, we got that one. Rubber game Sunday.
Yeah.
Dodgers win 12-1.
Oof. Yeah.
That's a lot of hits, by the way.
Yeah, and then you win one on a balk. It's not like you feel vindicated.
Yeah, right. You shouldn't feel good about that.
Thing. Yeah, because in other words, if it hadn't been for the balk, the Mariners would have lost that one too. So not a great, great weekend for me as a Mariners fan, but congratulations to the Dodgers taking that series, and congratulations to Dodgers fans. All right, it's Monday. Time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! Miss Allie McKay, who created this feature how long ago? Over a year, I bet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are up first today. What do you have for us that's going to make us happy?
Well, my great news has to do with the Dodgers-Mariners series past weekend.
How dare you?
Oh, Josh, kidding. No, this is an incredible, incredible thing that's happening right now. Think back to your freshman year in college.
No.
Maybe, no, just no. Do it. Just for this. Do it.
I'm crying and I have so many pimples.
Okay. Well, before you got dropped off at school, you probably went shopping with your mom and dad. You got the fitted sheets, the shower caddy, the extension cords, all of that. You then go to school, you move in, your parents help you a little bit, and then they leave, right? Kind of like this big moment in your life. Well, now think about kids that are in foster care. They've aged out of the system. These kids have overcome so many obstacles just to make it to college, and then they don't have that support system that so many of us are lucky to have. Well, that's when a woman named Tanya Suster comes in. She had heard about something called the Renaissance Program, which is this amazing program where basically you latch on to these kids and you help them out. You let them know that they're loved, that they're supported. And she thought, well, I want to do something like that for kids locally here. So she contacted UCLA to see if they needed dorm move-in kits for incoming students that had no parents, no support system. So pillows, sheets, towels, bedspreads, soaps, all of that that most of us lovingly got from our parents. It turned out that UCLA had a Guardian Scholar program already set up because they have around 100 students entering out of foster care, which is something I'm ashamed that I never even thought of.
Like put together.
That they had already put it together, done all that. But she then went an extra step, and she has a website that you can find at fosterkidsucla.com. And she has made it so easy. You can click on Amazon Dorm Registry, Bed Bath & Beyond Dorm Registry, donate with Venmo app, donate with PayPal. And she lists all the things that these kids at UCLA are going to need, from notebooks, pens, papers, extension cords, shampoo, all of that. It is amazing what this woman has done. And there are thank you letters at the bottom of this webpage from the students that she helped last year. There's the video that actually got her so inspired from the Renaissance program. It is amazing what this woman is doing. And then she enlists other mom and dads to go down, bring these kits to the kids, and then offers support as well. Kind of like a, hey, I'm here if you want to chat, if you want to, you know, get in touch with me during the school year, I'm here for you. And it's such a beautiful, loving thing to do for these kids that really have gone through so much their whole life. And then even if they have the best foster care, you know, their whole life, you age out of the system at some point. And
what's the address again?
That address. By the way, I emailed this woman, Tanya Suster, and said, I want to do something on this. And she goes, oh, my gosh, let me register an easier domain name so it's easier for you to say on the air. What? Tanya,
that's very
you're
sweet.
Amazing. So she created this domain, fosterkidsucla.com. So easy. I clicked right on the PayPal, donated money. It's just she can't make it easier to help kids that really need it. And I was very fortunate and very lucky, still am, to have two parents that support me in everything
well,
I do.
Well, you're really rubbing in that.
I'm sorry.
Must be nice.
I am going to go on that. I'm going to go on that site and buy those kids their first Bob Marley poster. How
no,
about that?
That is very sweet of you. That
Jensen,
is
maybe college. You could get a black light for him.
Yeah, like my freshman roommate, God bless him, had a poster of just a keg, and above it said, "Just do it."
Oh, dear. All right. Good times. Again, it is fosterkidsucla.com. I have linked it to my Twitter at Allie McKay if you want to check it out there as well. So thank you to Tanya Suster and all that you are doing. And that is my great news.
Jensen, you're up.
Just for the record, they have too many of those Bed Bath Beyond 20% off coupons, so please don't send them those. We all have those in our car, in our house. August 6th, we had Michigan law professor Beth Walensky, who is a saint. She came up with a great idea. She tweeted out that her husband is constantly traveling for work, and he racked up tons of frequent flyer miles that they can't use. He's always working. They barely get to vacation. And she found a better way to use those miles. She donated the points to fly a toddler and a dad who had been separated at the border because of the immigration chaos. She did it and sent them back to their extended families with her free miles.
Wow.
Look at that.
No one asked to spend anything. She asked if anyone wanted to do the same on Twitter. Go ahead and tweet her. The response was so overwhelming that she had to bring in organizations like the Michigan Support Circle and Miles for Migrants. And because of their work together, those three people, they have racked up over 28 million miles donated.
Oh my gosh.
To give to these families and these people who need the air frequent flyers and need to get around the U.S.
Yeah, because you see so many stories where the parents get separated and they're in Houston and the kids get sent to Boston or something like that.
Yeah, and there's really nothing set up for these kids to be reunited at all. And even things as small as airport taxes are impossible for a lot of these people to pay. And you can help, too, at sites like misupportcircle.org. It's Michigan Support Circle, but misupportcircle.org or miles and then the number 4 migrants. So M-I-L-E-S 4 migrants.org. Both of those sites allow you to donate your frequent flyer miles or just money straight up. It's a great cause.
Yeah.
And
an amazing thing. You know, Twitter is a garbage place mostly.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire.
It's a dumpster fire. But every once in a while, someone like this great Beth Walensky comes up with an idea and in turn gets 28 million miles donated to those who need it. Shouts to at Beth Walensky, W-I-L-E-N-S-K-Y. And that was my great news.
Those are two good ones, man. I hope I can keep it going here. Little Caitlin is, no last name given, is 6 years old. She lives in Utah. And her mom gave her permission to check on the progress of a Barbie doll on Amazon. She had ordered a Barbie doll for her birthday. And mom said, hey, yeah, go ahead and check on it if you want to see when it's going to get here. While she was on Amazon, she bought $350 worth of toys and video games. Without asking,
all right.
No permission from mom. Hey, look, she was on the Amazon. She knows how one-click buying works. She's six, right? Kids grew up with Amazon.
My type of kid.
$350 worth of toys and video games. Didn't say anything. A couple days later, the UPS truck pulls up, and there's the man who starts unloading box after box after box into the driveway. That's when the parents found out that she had done this. They were not pleased with little Caitlin, by the way. In fact, they were getting ready to yell at her and take away her internet privileges for a month when she said, while I was online, I decided I wanted to buy toys for the children's hospital where I stayed for a week when I was a baby. I wanted to give a little joy to other little kids who were sick like I was.
Oh, that's a good audible.
How about
you know what I mean?
Dad?
Like, as soon as you see your parents' face, like, not for me, for kids who need it.
$350 worth of toys. Now, I was telling Mrs. Baxter about this story last night, and she calls BS on it because she says the parents would have gotten some sort of an email or something that said, your order is on the way, your mm-hmm. order has been shipped. I don't know the specifics of that. I choose to believe that this is true, that they didn't know until the stuff showed up in the driveway and that this little six-year-old was just thinking of other little sick kids in Children's Hospital, because I think that's an awesome story.
And if it was true, why would they send everything but the Barbie back? Did you know that?
I don't like logic at all. Like,
I'm just saying everything except the Barbie is being sent back by the parents.
No, they're sending it to Children's Hospital. That's what the update was. That was the update to the story, was that they have decided to follow through with her wishes and donate all the toys to a children's hospital. And
coincidentally, it's all in the six-year-old size.
Interesting. First, I do not want to poo-poo the story if it is indeed true and that's what she did. Why is your six-year-old using the internet without you?
Because I think it was understood what she was going to do, which was to go on Amazon and check her package.
It's all odd.
All of this. I'm calling BS.
Are you now?
Yep.
So you don't want the Children's Hospital kids to have free toys?
Beat it, kid.
Oh. Beat it, kid, indeed. And that's my great news. Allie, are you going to have to leave early that day to get to the first screening of the Happy Time Murders?
Funny you should mention it. I'm seeing a preview tonight.
Check you out.
I'm so excited.
This is your Super Bowl and your Oscars all rolled into one.
It's the trifecta for me. There are puppets, there's Melissa McCarthy, and there's murder.
No Asians, though. No Asians.
We don't know that.
Well, I know.
Okay. All right.
All right. It is Monday morning. Thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin Amin Show. Allie is here with another look at what's happening.
Well, this is an awful story. We all remember Asia Argento because she was one of the first to come out against Harvey Weinstein, accusing him of sexual assault.
She was kind of right there around Rose McGowan time to get the ball rolling, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the names that became synonymous with the Me Too movement. Well, some shocking news came out yesterday from a report in the New York Times that Asia Argento paid her own sexual assault accuser $380,000. To stay quiet. And apparently this was a young man named Jimmy Bennett. He accused her of sexually assaulting him when he was 17 years old and she was 37 in a motel room in 2013.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
All right. Weird. She was his mother in a movie years ago when he was, I think, 5-6 years old. And there's now people saying, was she grooming him this whole time? But his lawyer reportedly sent her lawyer a notice of intent saying the aftermath of the sexual battery traumatized Bennett, affecting his work and income, and endangered his mental health, which led to the payout. But wow, that's awful.
It's stunning hypocrisy for her to be up there talking about what had happened to her when she's doing it to someone else.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, underage, I guess he had just turned 17 by a couple months.
Yes.
I mean, this is so many layers of gross.
I'm surprised they were able to keep this quiet at the time. Honestly.
Apparently, from what I was reading, Jimmy Bennett was getting more and more angry seeing her as the face of a movement of something that basically she was involved in as well. So it just kind of one day he was like, enough.
Yeah, and I'm sure he had some sort of gag order on the payment
and
thought that out for a long time.
Weird gag orders on she couldn't post a picture that they had taken in bed from that time.
Oh, boy.
Just a whole bad situation altogether. So
I have to ask, statute of limitations is passed, right?
I don't know, right? 17? I have to look that up.
I don't think he's that old now.
Yeah, I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, this was in 2013.
Oh, okay. All right.
This was not, 20 years ago.
Oh, okay. So she could get charged. All right.
Absolutely. And, of course, a lot of people wondering, you know, who knew about it? Did Anthony Bourdain, her boyfriend at the time, did he know anything about this, that it was going to come out? A lot of people looking to Rose McGowan because Rose and her had gotten very close. And Rose McGowan tweeted, I got to know Ossie Argento 10 months ago. Our commonality is the shared pain of being assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. My heart is broken. I will continue my work on behalf of victims everywhere. She then tweeted, none of us know the truth of the situation, and I'm sure more will be revealed. Be gentle. Which, I mean, don't you believe him?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Why would you, for someone who's so in your face about believing the victims, why would you ever say we don't know the truth of the situation, more will be revealed? Yeah, more will be revealed, but you're discounting him. When and that's not okay.
There's a picture of them when they worked together. And when I say he was seven?
Maybe.
I think that's being nice. So she's kept in touch with him for a decade? Yep. It's just
And there was a very weird Instagram post where she said she was waiting on her son. And that was the day it happened.
Yeesh.
And waiting on him with trepidation. Like, just everything about
very
it
creepy.
Is gross and creepy.
Well, she's a child predator.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Ugh. I don't like any of it, you guys.
All right. You better have something really fun now.
This is wonderful news.
Schindler's List. Just like something much more depressing.
Part two.
Yeah.
No. The Victoria's Secret model Lily Aldridge is pregnant with their second child with Kings of Leon frontman Caleb Folliwell. She shared the happy news on Instagram with a bikini selfie. And I'm just going to say right now, she could be 9 months pregnant and in a bikini, and she's still got a better figure than I've ever had in my life. So F you, Lily. That's what I'm saying.
We love Lily. She's a big fan of the show, big fan of the station. And we're delighted for her and her husband.
Their new addition will join big sister Dixie, who's six. I mean, come on. You're an amazing model. You've got everything going for you. By all accounts, one of the kindest, nicest people.
So sweet.
Rockstar husband.
Friends with Taylor Swift.
We don't want to talk about the bad parts. I'm listing
you.
The great stuff.
How dare
Adorable
you?
Adorable daughter named Dixie. I think things are all coming up, Lily.
Oh, no doubt.
Is what I'm saying.
But finally, you know, for a beautiful woman, things are finally coming together for a beautiful white woman.
It's nice when good things happen to models.
Yeah.
Agreed.
They deserve it.
They really do. And don't think, you guys, that I am avoiding the Ariana Grande story. And by Ariana Grande, I mean
Ariana Grande?
Because I'm not. I will bring that to you very soon. And my God, do we owe an apology to Kevin.
Well, he's never, ever going to let us forget it.
No. Kevin is a linguist, and he is right all the time, and we just discount it because it's Kevin. And he doesn't know how to talk. Right?
Well, me stepping in for him this week, I feel like I could accept this if you need me to.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll take all the vindication and validation.
We might need to do that. Yeah,
it'll be over. By the time he gets here, you'll be like, oh, Jensen took this.
That's true.
You don't get to gloat.
Yeah, you don't get twice.
Good point. What were you saying, Bean?
We've mocked him for so long about this. I mean, he's been so embarrassed by it for so long.
Yeah.
I just don't think he'll ever let us forget it. He lords this over us as if he just won an Olympic medal.
Yeah. and we'll have that full story coming up. If you're sitting there going, wait, I don't have a Ariana Grande news alert. I don't know what's
Ariana
happening.
Ariana Grande.
Well, now we know. I'll tell you that story coming up. But first, some birthdays for you. KRS-One. Demi Lovato, Andrew Garfield, Robert Plant, Al Roker.
I pooped my pants.
Amy Adams and Fred Durst. And that's what's happening.
Our friend Rob Corddry, who looks so tiny standing next to The Rock every Sunday night on Ballers, doesn't he?
I mean, we all would, don't you think?
He just looks like a little pocket person. He'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour here this morning on K-Rock. About the same time, our little cue ball friend. About the same time, we'll be giving away tickets for Caboo Del Mar to see Foo Fighters, Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, and more. That's all coming up on K-Rock. Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of this game?
Well, this game is something that I've stumbled upon, noticing that many of the bands who played on Warped Tour this year sound exactly like Twilight Zone episodes. So this game is called Warped Tour Band or Twilight Zone Episode.
Warped Tour band or Twilight Zone episode, oh, don't you know?
No!
One's a band from a music festival, the other one is a TV show. Warped Tour band or Twilight Zone episode, oh, don't you know?
No!
So let's find out which one is which on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's such a shame that Warped Tour is now over, finished, done.
Is it a shame?
It is, because Omar right there with his band sounds like they could have played Warped Tour.
I feel like every single one of them is some sort of emotional, like, you know, a tough feeling for birds.
Right, the birds are dying, though, Jensen.
I mean, that's also a band, or it's a Twilight Zone episode. You can't tell the difference between the two things, and I'm here to prove that that's the case.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I have followed Warped Tour peripherally over the years. Obviously, K-Rock has been involved in a bunch of the tours, particularly in the early days. Yep. And I am a fan of the Twilight Zone, but I can say I've never committed any episode names to memory. So I think I'm going to be pretty worthless at this game. How about you, Allie?
I will be what's less than worthless.
Okay. All right.
I mean, a pocket person? Yeah, you're going to be a pocket person?
I'm going to be a pocket person.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's start it. This one, again, the game, this is either a Warped Tour band or an episode of The Twilight Zone.
All right, got it.
The Trade-Ins.
That sounds like a band to me.
It sounds like a Twilight Zone to me.
Well, it's a Twilight Zone episode.
Yes!
Whoa, yeah,
just
Allie.
Like that. The
right
Trade-Ins.
Out of the gate.
That is a Twilight Zone episode. Okay, here we go. Ready? Great American Ghost.
I'm going to say band again.
I'm going to go band on that as well.
You guys got that one? That is a band. Okay. So I feel like I'm basically giving you two easy. I felt those were kind of easy.
Okay.
You got one wrong with Trade-Ins, but let's pop it up.
I got Trade-Ins right.
Let's point it up.
Yeah.
A Passage for Trumpet.
That is The Zone, I think.
That is a band.
That is a Twilight Zone episode.
Okay. All right.
All right,
here
we go.
I think we got, are we
tied up
now?
Yeah.
Okay. Tied up. Okay. How about Black Leather Jackets?
That wants to be a band, but I think it's too obvious. So I'm going to say Twilight Zone on that one.
It wants to be a band. It's too obvious, which brings it right back to being a band.
Twilight Zone episode. It's very difficult.
Dang it.
These are very difficult.
Jensen,
all right.
I'm curious now if you know. What was the episode Black Leather Jackets about? Any idea?
Oh, I think it's about pants. Just about like khaki pants.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. 90 Years Without Slumbering.
Way zone.
See, no. No, that's a band.
Twilight Zone! Oh! Yeah! Flipping these around. Here we go. Here's another one. Sincerely Me. Sincerely, comma, me.
That's got emo all over it. I'm going to say Warped Tour band.
I'd say band, too.
You got that one. That's all a Warped Tour band. That's probably a band who gets emotional, has tight pants,
right.
Sells a lot of merch. Okay.
Sure.
And may wear black leather jackets, by the way.
Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Heart for Hire.
I'm gonna say Twilight Zone.
I feel like it's such a dumb band name that I hope it's Twilight Zone.
Warped Tour!
Oh,
darn
no!
It! Darn it! Vans, the shoe company, has probably paid for them to be on a stage.
Sorry, band. It's a good name.
All right, here we go. Everyone Dies in Utah.
Oh.
Oh, that's a good one, Jensen.
Thank you.
That is a good one.
Everyone
Dies in Utah. Man, I am split. I am going to say Twilight Zone.
I'm going with band. That's a great band name.
Get your lip piercings into Warped Tour band.
Yes!
Pretty good one. We got two more left. Here we go.
Okay.
Young Man's Fancy.
Zone.
Definitely Zone.
Zone it up, baby.
All right.
Last one. Here we go. Ready?
What's the score right now, Allie?
You've got six. I've got five.
Oh, God.
Ooh, this could tie it up. All right.
Well, I was going to joke and just say Papa Roach, but now we really have to do it.
Oh, no.
All right. Here we go. Eight Graves.
By the way,
I think that's a stumper in my field. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's definitely either way. Eight Graves.
That's a band.
I'm going to give you the opportunity to tie me by giving the other answer, because I don't know. So I'll just say Twilight Zone.
Warped Tour, baby!
Yeah!
I I hope you got your stuff from Journeys and Hot Topic.
Yeah! Hi, Dave. Well done. This has been Warped Tour Band or Twilight Zone.
Warped Tour Band or Twilight Zone episode, oh, don't you know? No!
L.A. and O.C.'s Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. What's up with Florida? Coming up in minutes here on this Kevin and Bean Show. Jensen Karp is filling in for Kevin. He will be back tomorrow. Allie, we're going to talk about your new hero down in Adelaide, Australia.
Oh, I love him so much.
Look. Mm. If you're going to walk your dog,
right,
you're responsible for your dog's poop.
Yes.
You don't just leave it wherever it lays.
No.
Or lies, whichever one is correct. You just don't. You have to pick it up. That's part of the deal. There are things you have to do when you have a dog, and one of the things you have to do is pick up after your dog.
Yes. Well, I mean, is there any question about this? I mean,
apparently there is with a lot of dog owners that are just awful garbage people.
I will tell you, there is no shortage of poop left around my neighborhood in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. People walk around, and it drives you crazy because you just hope that nobody sees you do it. Is that the goal? Is you hope to just get away with it? And you go, you can't track it back to me unless you're going to DNA that poop. You'll never prove it was my dog, right?
I think it's that, and it's also a weird entitlement. Like, oh, my dog needs to go. Not my problem.
Right.
No, just grab a bag. It's not
insane.
Hard.
Well, here's your hero. As I mentioned, he's in Adelaide. Let's hear the news report of what he has done to try to clamp down on this happening in his neighborhood.
And a fed-up dog owner is going to great lengths to catch out lazy dog walkers who leave their pooch's poop outside his home. He's posted video of one culprit online, hoping someone will recognize her and dob her in. Here's Mark Mooney.
Now, is this the story, Allie? I saw a couple of different poop stories. This isn't the guy who disguises himself in a bush, right, and shoots video as people. That was a different story, right?
No, I love him. No, this is just a guy that sets up a camera to his front lawn.
Like a home security. Like yes. He's got his ring mm-hmm. out showing the front of his house.
Right.
Okay.
We've all seen them, those dodgy dog owners who turn a blind eye when their precious pooches are doing their business. But
by the way, I love this reporter.
And he's great.
He's great. The dodgy dog owners who turn a blind eye to their precious poops while they're doing their business. I mean, this guy is speaking poetry. He's too good for the news.
He's Edgar Allan Poop.
Nice.
Very nice. When the cat's away,
puns will play.
For Steve Tamblyn, this unwelcome home delivery was the final straw.
That an unwelcome home delivery is how he describes the puppy excrement, by the way, that ended up in front of this guy's house.
That's what my fiance calls me every time
Fed
I come
up
home.
With having to pick up after neglectful neighbors, he decided to catch them in the act. And on Monday morning came his maiden victory. Crystal clear security video of a golden retriever stopping and squatting for a toilet break at the front of his house.
Now, this lady, you've seen the video, right, Allie?
Of course.
This lady is just walking her big old golden retriever, mm-hmm. and she stops, and he takes an enormous poop,
yeah.
and she never even looks around or even thinks about it mm-hmm. or reaches for it. I mean, she just, he's done, she just pulls the leash, and they just walk out of the frame.
Because if I were to do this, just to let you know, if I mm-hmm. were to do this, I would at least pretend, do the old fake out.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yes.
Oh, got a bag, lean down, pretend to pick it up, and then walk away. Almost the bags in your hand can't notice. Like,
right.
You don't even do that.
Or reach, start going into your pockets and into your coat and going, oh, man, and then put your hands up in the air. Oh, I forgot a bag.
Yeah, do some poo diligence on this, right?
5 hours later, you come back. Got it.
We're not going to forget you said poo diligence, okay. By the way, Allie. All right, let's go back to the news.
After 10 seconds of serious business, the dog walks on. And so does its owner.
By the way, 10 seconds of serious business for real. I mean, this dog was building a mountain. I mean, it was shameful that they were willing to leave that in front of this poor guy's house.
And went through the CCTV footage and located the culprit. I did have a gotcha moment.
He uploaded the video to Facebook in the hope someone would recognize the woman and give her a friendly reminder to come back and clean up. But Steve still wasn't satisfied, so he stuck a photo of the culprits next to the offending deposit.
I love this.
It's great.
Now, so he puts it up on Facebook, I guess. Probably a lot of people in the neighborhood or, in that circle or whatever. you would think that somebody would see that and they would call this monster out, I think, right?
You would think, yeah.
That didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So he leaves the poop there in his yard and then prints out a photo still from the video and puts it right there by the poop to make sure everybody knows who's the owner and who's the dog.
Like it's running for mayor.
Right.
Exactly.
The video's already had thousands of views, but the woman's identity remains a mystery.
So I don't know whether she's seen it and decided to take an alternate route with her walks. But
she might have sold the house and moved out.
She may well have cleared out of the suburb completely.
I love everybody who works on this newscast. I love the newscaster back in the studio. I love the reporter on the street. I love the dog poop shamer. He's hilarious. This is a delightful neighborhood, you guys.
Yeah, this is like your favorite director. What's his name? The guy who does Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yes. He's from New Zealand.
Yeah,
but
this is
basically
the exact same script.
Same thing. Absolutely. Yeah,
all Australians are the same to me. New Zealand, same thing. All the same.
Yeah. Neighbors are full of praise for their local pet detective.
I love it.
All right. I love this woman so much. She's so delighted by what's going on with trying to track down this mystery pooper.
I see it every day, and I think, well, look at the size of that jobby there. You know, it's a lot of poop.
Failing to pick up after your dog around here attracts...
What do you think the fine is, you guys, for being caught not picking up after your dog?
You got to
eat neighborhood.
It. You got to eat it.
Well, no, there's
that
actually
sounds
a,
gross.
There's actually a monetary fee.
$200.
Congrats.
All right.
Failing to pick up after your dog around here attracts a $210 fine, but Steve Tamblyn hopes the threat of a public shaming will provide an extra deterrent.
I know that most people would never go to the lengths that he did, but God bless Steve Tamblyn, right?
Agreed.
Hero, you guys.
Hero.
Absolute.
Ariana Grande, if that really is her name, shocked the world over the weekend in an interview. Allie, you going to be talking about that in the upcoming What's Happening?
Yes.
You guys aren't going to believe it. First, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida? You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, as you know, is America's penis. They always have the best news of the week, and they sure do this time. What's the policy, guys? Do you have friends on Facebook who are very supportive and very vocal of the president and the current administration?
No, because they're no longer on my friend Facebook list.
So you just cut them out, because there are some people who will do that because the political divide is too large these days to even stay friends with people on the other side. And then there are other people who just ignore it. They just go, you know what? Free country. They're allowed to think what they want. I'm just not going to engage. I'm not going to get involved because I don't need the headache. Well, that's probably what Brian Sebring should have done. He's 44 years old. He faces felony charges after he decided to take an argument about the president offline. Now, this guy that he got into a spat with on Facebook was not a friend of his, but they did have a mutual friend. This is Alex Stevens. He posted that he wanted to express his opinion about something to do with the president, but he had lost his right to vote because he'd been convicted on felony charges. So Brian Sebring says, well, if you want to express an opinion, you shouldn't do crimes. By the way, Brian Sebring had also been arrested, but it was just for a misdemeanor. He has served time in a state prison for drug possession and robbery. So these are two great Floridians here.
It's like a nesting doll of Florida.
It really is. He had also, by the way, he had anger management classes in his past, but he did get to vote, and he was lording that over the other man. So they start smack-talking each other. And our man Brian Sebring says to Alex, dude, I am going to empty a full 556 magazine into your head. Do you want me to come to your house? Because it's Florida, Alex Stevens says, yeah, come on over.
Oh, my gosh.
So he does. He grabs a handgun and an AR-15 and goes over and shoots the guy in the butt. Which, again,
So Florida!
So many levels.
He is arrested, as you can imagine, and now he does face felony charges, so he will also lose his right to vote, which is the thing he was making fun of the other dude about. A bullet to the butt, he said. He even admitted in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, I went off the deep end. I wasn't thinking right. You know, after this, I'm going to go see a therapist or something because, man, this is some scary ass that I could lose my temper like that and do something so stupid. So I guess the motto here is just, I don't know, dial it back a little bit before it gets to the point where you're driving over to some stranger's house to shoot him in the ass. Okay? It's okay to vote for different people, I guess is what we're saying. The Kobe Japanese Steakhouse in Clearwater, Florida offers a variety of choice meat, sushi specialties, and a pretty generous happy hour deal. But the one thing they don't offer are live nude shows. Not always, anyway. James Jordan, 24, from nearby Dundon, he was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct after he drunkenly approached a couple of Kobe diners last Sunday night and offered them an impromptu striptease. He just basically walked up to the table, started to undress in the restaurant and dance erotically. By the way, when the woman at the table asked him to stop, Jordan became belligerent and called the woman fat.
God.
And then threatened to fight her husband, the complaint said. He was arrested and is out on a $150 bond. I guess the woman wasn't fat if she enjoyed his dancing, but because she didn't, I guess she was. A Florida woman, wow, a lot of women in the news this week from the Sunshine State, was arrested on Sunday after police say she stripped naked and ran around at a public park. Why? Because she believed a giant spider was on her and she had to get away from it. Understandable, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
40-year-old Danielle Teeples was in the park, Bartlett Park, Sunday around 2:15. A lot of families there as well. Police say traffic on that 4th Street South road that goes by was heavy at the time of the incident, and that numerous vehicles were slowing and honking at her as they saw her behavior.
Because of the spider or because of her behavior?
Because of her
behavior. Honk, honk, there's a big spider! And everyone's just messing with her.
Because she's 40 and naked. According to the arrest report, she was, quote, acting erratically and rubbing her hair and breasts while screaming and running between two trees.
We've all been there.
She refused to get dressed after police contacted her. By the way, in case you were curious, she did admit to recently using drugs such as crack cocaine, spice, and crystal meth. She said she believed a giant spider was on her, and she had to get away with it. She was arrested and charged with exposure of sexual organs.
Only in Florida is there a drug I've never heard of. Spice.
Yeah. I'm sure it's delicious. You want another naked woman? How about this one? She is a topless 81-year-old woman drinking from the spout of a box of Franzia Sunset Blush wine yesterday.
Sure. When Florida police,
this is, by the way, this is you in the future, Allie. This is you sitting on a park bench topless drinking wine out of a box.
Keep going. Why are they all squinting?
There's a spider on me, too. Yeah.
Florida police arrested her for disorderly intoxication. Again, she's 81 years old. She's sitting on a bench in full view of the public. They approached her around what time? 7:40 a.m.
Oh,
Nana.
Weirder that right now is 7:40. That's also very strange.
Her breasts were completely exposed. Security and nursing staff all witnesses. She held the box of wine over her head, began to drink from the spout. They tried to confiscate it. So she began to shake the box intentionally toward deputies in an attempt to splash them with the wine. Charged with disorderly intoxication, a misdemeanor, she was briefly booked. By the way, she had no prior criminal record of any kind. That's just kind of an oddball thing to go to, right? Maybe she's just starting to lose it a little bit. I don't know what the deal
is. Or get it. Either one. I mean, it's like just starting to understand.
And finally, we go to Crestview. Believe it or not, another woman arrested in this week's What's Up in Florida. This is a brawl with cashiers at a convenience store. Look, we have all been in a long line at the supermarket where something slows you down. A new cashier comes on and they've got to change out the drawer. Or in this case, the computer had to be rebooted and she became belligerent because she had to wait for the computer to restart. So what did this 25-year-old woman do? She started picking up merchandise on the counter and started throwing it at the cashier. Hurry up and reboot that computer. I want to check out. So she starts throwing her groceries at the cashier. Because it's Florida, the cashier returned by spraying the woman in the face with pepper spray. Only in Florida does a cashier have pepper spray at the register. The woman left, but she returned multiple times, at one point bringing multiple other people back with her. This is all on security footage, by the way. The woman in an interview later said she remembered being pepper sprayed and throwing things at the cashier, but she said it was because the cashier was rude to her at the start with. But she also admitted, she told the police, she has a tendency to get upset and forget things. She has been charged with aggravated battery. You're just going to the supermarket to buy stuff. It should never involve throwing groceries and pepper spray. Mm-mm. This is why we love this state, you guys. That's why this is What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
101 tickets to go see that band Imagine Dragons. You can also Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, and Foo Fighters, and Cake, and STP, Better Than Ezra, and so much more. Plus a lot of comedy, including your favorite, Allie. Eliza is going to be there. Craig Robinson, Whitney Cummings, and more. We're talking about the Caboo Del Mar at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Your chance to win at 9 a.m. coming up this morning on K-Rock. Plus Rob Corddry joins us as well in the 9 o'clock hour. All right, time for What's Happening Here on this Monday.
Bean.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
Just you. You guys, we've been pronouncing Ariana Grande's last name wrong this entire time. Right?
Please explain.
Here's the thing. She's on a press tour doing an interview with Beats One and the host, Ebro Darden. He asks her if she's going to hyphenate her last name, do a little Grande hyphen Davidson when she finally marries Pete. And that's when...
Finally.
It's been forever, yeah. You guys. Get on that. But that is when she dropped a bomb that, dare I say, changed all of us.
My grandpa said Grandy.
So should we all be saying Grandy?
Well, my brother kind of changed it to Grande because, like, Grandy was kind of like the, like, I guess Americanized version of it, you know? Mm. Like, made it more like... You know, chill, like, whatever. And then my brother was like, we should say Grande. It's so fun to, like, say it. It's, like, funny. It's, like, a funny name. And my grandpa. But I think of him and I grew up saying Grandy. And I think of my grandpa and I wish I said Grandy more.
What?
None of it really makes any sense.
Number one, she's 25 years old. Why does she sound like she's a baby?
There's a little baby voice happening.
I'm a Grandy and a Grandy and a Grandy. I like music and Grandy.
Now, where is she from? What's her
Mars?
History.
She's a kid actor. She's like a kid star.
No, no, no. I mean, is she Hispanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's Grande.
Right.
It's not Grande.
I feel like she wasn't as clear as she could have been by saying that her grandfather changed it. It was originally Grande. Then her grandfather changed it, she says, to be more chill. And by that, I took that as to Americanize it to Grandy.
Yeah.
And then her brother wanted to change it back to Grande.
Right. I mean, look.
So it's been Grande, but then her grandfather wanted to be more, you know, white American, so made it Grande.
Right. Like the way that many Spanish speakers do not speak, like they don't say Los Angeles. They say Los Angeles because they're in America and that's how people say Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going on here, too, is they were trying to figure out a way. Although now Grande sounds dumb and Grande sounds normal.
My name's Ariana Grande. I'm a baby. I have a cute little pacifier.
It's like you're 25,
right?
Dude.
It's a little odd. Yeah.
And she's like that in all of her interviews, too, by the way. She always sounded... Well, Allie, what was it you and I were talking about the other day? Was she out with Fallon or something? And she sounded like she was 11.
It was just creepy and odd. I didn't even like it at all.
Adult voice.
Yeah.
Adult voice.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all we're asking.
I mean, she has people carry her around.
Yeah. Carry me around. Put me in a little Bjorn.
But she does lick her own donuts, though.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
All right. So how are we going to... Kevin won't have heard about this when he comes back because he's a kid and he doesn't watch the news. So how are we going to break this to him? Are we going to let him have this one? Is he technically right when he says...
Well, he's not technically right because it's... always been Grande. Then it was changed to bastardize it for the people like Kevin.
She is. She's actually Italian.
Is she? Italian.
Yeah, she's not Hispanic. Really? She's Italian. Yeah.
Okay. But would that be Grande also, though?
Yeah,
I think that would be. Yeah.
It would. I say we give it to Kevin, but we also do it in the form of a mashup.
Like, we just mash up all the time. She says, Grandy. And then him saying,
Ariana Grande?
Yep. And then it will eventually annoy him so much he won't know how to pronounce it. Who's with me?
That's my name.
That's my name, Ariana Grande. Has
anyone listened to the new album?
I did.
Apparently a lot of people.
I did. There's a song just called Pete Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just a minute and 30 seconds of a love song. Aww. There's a song with Missy Elliott I listened to. Mm-hmm. I picked and choosed my highlights.
Is it worth checking out?
Not for me.
Not for
me. And I like pop records. I just don't think that one was for me.
It's just too childish.
Okay.
It's too cute.
Well, Sweetener was released on Friday, and it's already breaking records. She now holds the U.S. Spotify record for the biggest opening day for a female artist. Sweetener received 15.1 million album streams on August 17th.
Whoa.
That's not bad. And fans noticed that at the end of the album's final track, which is Get Well Soon, Ariana included 40 seconds of silence, which brings the song's runtime to 5 minutes and 22 seconds. And they realized that the significance of that was because May 22nd, so 5/22, that was the date of the terror attack in Manchester at her concert. So she was
paying tribute.
But in a way that no one will ever know about it.
Except me and you, Bean. We'll know, and that's all that matters.
Oh, my God, I hate it. So
give me my allowance, Bean.
Jensen,
I have so many streams.
Jensen, I would like to hear Ariana Grande have a brief conversation with Cardi B.
Oh, I can set that up if you'd like.
Hi, Cardi. It's me. I'm the baby, Ariana Grande. I like Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. Why would you say that? I don't know what Balenciagas is. I just wear little shoes, little boonties.
You should wear those Balenciagas.
Guys, I'll be in for just a couple more hours. Live it up.
I love it. Some birthdays for you. Amy Adams, Robert Plant, someone with a lot in common with our own Jensen Carpier, Al Roker.
I pooped my pants.
He pooped his pants, too, as did Jensen his
freshman
year.
In college. Thank you, Yoshinoya.
Good times. Andrew Garfield, Demi Lovato, KRS-One, and Fred Durst, your two favorite rappers. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, I mentioned this before, and I was roundly criticized by the gang, so I'm interested in your take, Jensen. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in Oasis getting back together.
No, me neither. I think that they've cried wolf too many times, and unless it's that weird TRL clip where he sort of predicts 9/11, I don't want to see either one of those brothers.
I don't know what you mean, but I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh, please. TRL, Oasis, 9/11, it's pretty crazy. Ooh,
all right. I'll check it out. That's our friend Jensen Karp, who's been filling in for Kevin. He's been out for a couple of days out of town. He will be back tomorrow, and I'm actually glad you're here because you brought up an interesting topic that I don't know that we've ever done before on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to be taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. It's about people queuing up, as they say in Britain, waiting in line, as we say here in America, for dumb stuff.
Yeah.
What'd you see?
Well, I live in West Hollywood, so I find myself constantly passing Supreme, the store on Fairfax, which is filled with sort of streetwear clothing stores. But Supreme has become sort of the top of the line streetwear. People wait in line for Supreme clothes for days. They sleep outside. They sit in these folding chairs. And then they basically get the clothes and then sell them for a profit on eBay or any sort of app like that. But this last week, near my house on Sunset, Kith, which is a new sort of streetwear store, released a collaboration with Coca-Cola and Converse. And it was a bunch of different Coca-Cola-inspired shoes and shirts and sweaters. And people were outside there for days, waiting for Coca-Cola merchandise.
So, yeah, it looks like it comes in multiple colors. There's a yellow one, a blue one, red one, white one. And are most people lining up realizing there's a great resale opportunity for markup here? Or are most people sneaker collectors? Or are they Coke fans? What do you think is going on down there?
It's all the same person. They all sell these things. They'll be at Supreme on Thursday. They'll be at Kith on Monday. They'll be at the Tyler Golf Wang store on Fairfax. Like all of the, it just basically, it's like a culture of people who sit outside and wait and sleep and get pizzas delivered and are just overall annoying. And they get these clothes.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If this weren't a Kith, it's Kith, is that the company?
K-I-T-H.
All right, if it weren't Kith, if these exact same people were with their moms at Target last weekend, and they saw a Coca-Cola Converse sneaker.
No way. They wouldn't buy it.
They wouldn't buy it, right?
No, there's no chance. It has to say Kith on it, and it's got to be at Kith, and they got to sit outside, and they got to be cool, and all those. Yes. And by the way, they released these online. I mean, I know it's hard to get things online because of bots and such, but, like, if you're going to freak out, like, maybe just get a really good computer or something. I don't know. You're spending so much of your life sleeping outside of a store. Just cut out the middleman and be homeless.
Now, sneakers seems to be one of the things that you frequently read about there being limited editions. You know, the Kanye sneaker, obviously, is another recent example of people just were freaking out to make sure they got those. Are there other things that people line up for, too?
Recently, it feels like people wait in line for, like, video game releases, and it just feels like everything has a queue. Everything has a line now. As long as it's limited edition, you can release anything. Like, today, Gucci put out a $596 shirt that just has the Paramount logo on it.
I saw that.
And underneath it, it says, a Viacom company.
That's it.
That's the whole, and then on the back, it says Gucci up top.
And how much?
$596.
All right. No.
And people will wait in line for it.
Ugh.
That should be a free giveaway with your cable subscription.
Absolutely.
I mean, how is that a $600 t-shirt?
I don't know. Imagine paying even $30 to promote Viacom.
Yes. I know, very odd. Right? So we're going to be taking your calls of dumb things that you waited in line for at 1-800-520-1067. I'm sure there are a lot of collectors of various things, like when the new, I don't know, don't they have a bunch of Christmas figurines that the companies come out with different ones every year?
Yeah, there's like Department 56, and then there's like the Hallmark ornaments, pop culture ones. Those are all, you can collect that. You collect plates.
Yes.
People wait in line for plates.
And people do line up for those sort of things. The only thing that I can think of, you know, beyond back in the day when, you know, pre-online, when we all used to line up for tickets for concerts.
Ticketmaster,
that was everybody, right? And also new albums. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was at a record store when they opened the day a new record came out because I couldn't wait to get it. I mean, that was very common back then. But now, obviously, that's, you know, technology has surpassed that. The only thing I can think of that I've waited in line for in recent years was for a specific bobblehead at a baseball game where they give them to the first 20,000 people in line. So that's something. That's the only way you can get it unless you want to, you know, pay the markup online. So that's something that's worth getting to the ballpark early for to try to be one of those guys.
Yeah,
that's
like,
about it.
Not to expose how stupid I am, but I was a Clippers season ticket holder for 20 years. And I never got there in time for a bobblehead.
Really?
Yeah, I never got one.
It's very tough. Ticket holders should get one.
You would think, and I never ended up walking. I guess I hate lines that much. The only time I ever waited in line, like Bean was saying, I was in high school, a senior in high school from Calabasas. We drove down to the Sunset or Virgin Megastore on Sunset, and we waited in line because they said there was going to be a free Wu-Tang shirt with the release of Wu-Tang Forever. So we got there at like 11, waited in line. Everyone chanted Wu-Tang and weird stuff in line. And then we went in, bought the CD, asked for the shirt. They said they ran out of them. I waited in line at midnight as a high school student to just buy a CD that I could have waited in the morning for. Then drove home 15 minutes, heard 15 minutes of the album, went to bed. Nothing good.
1-800-520-1067. What have you waited in line for? Miss Allen McKay.
I totally forgot about this until we started talking about it because I think I was just so embarrassed that I waited in line to be one of the first to get the new Kids on the Block CD as well as meet them. It was in Boston at the Tower Records on Newbury and Mass Ave, and we got in line, and it was going to be probably a good 8-9 hours that we'd be standing there, and it started to snow, and we hanging tough. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Yeah, I stayed in line in the snow to meet new Kids on the Block.
Did you get it, and was it the right stuff?
It was all the right stuff, baby.
We're out of songs, Bean.
No, there's so many more.
When you turned to walk away, did any of the kids in New Kids say, please don't go, girl?
Just right. Joey.
We're almost
Just Joey.
There. We're almost done.
Hey, that totally makes sense, by the way. I totally forgot about that. We were talking about tickets. We were talking about albums. But, of course, in stores, everybody's waited in line for an in-store. dare we forget the Kevin Abedin riot with Depeche Mode back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was 20,000 people waiting in line to see Depeche Mode. So, yeah, of course that makes sense with your – or at a signing, I guess. But I wouldn't consider that a dumb thing. I mean, if Stephen King is doing a book signing and you line up 4 hours early – I think that's cool, right?
Well, yeah, I saw Albert Brooks.
That's worth it.
Albert Brooks is my kind of king. I love him. And he did a signing at the Grove, and I just showed up on time and then sat down. Didn't have to wait or anything. Then he signed it.
That's real sad.
Yeah. It's nothing against Albert Brooks.
No one was there, Jensen. That's what you're saying.
I guess I am saying that. But the point is I guess I pick things that wouldn't have 20,000 people at the Grove.
Right.
Like, those are the people I like or people I can just walk in. I mean, what I'm saying is be less popular and I'll join in.
It's a great plan.
Yeah.
The only one that comes to mind of an in-store author that I wanted to meet, but the line was just way too long, was I want to say it was at the Century City Mall, and it was President Carter.
Oh.
President Carter was signing one of his books there.
At the Century City Mall?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I just, it would have been hours, and I didn't do it. But I can certainly see why somebody would. You get a chance to get an autograph from a president, you do it.
Well, similarly, Sunset on Tower did have a signing of the Freaks and Geeks cast before they had really blown up. Only James Franco was kind of, it was like the show was off and they were releasing the DVD, but no one had really exploded yet. But again, just showed up at the time, walked in.
Wow. You're good at dodging lines. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What dumb thing did you wait in line for? Why don't we start with Ryan? He's calling us from Prescott, Arizona, you guys. Streaming the show this morning. Ryan, we appreciate you so much, my friend. What'd you wait in line for?
I waited in line not once, not twice, but three different times for one of those Nintendo classics that they released a couple years ago. The little mini ones, basically they're plug and play.
Oh, I have one. I just paid $50 extra to someone on OfferUp so I didn't have to wait in line. I know it well, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. I could not justify paying some third party $200 for something that's $60 retail. So I camped out the first night only to find out that it sold out. Camped out the second night to find out they didn't even have any in stock in the first place.
Then
I finally had success on the third one. And this is all in northern Arizona where it's freezing during the winter.
Wow.
Ryan, how long do you think you put into that line? Like overall?
Overall? Oh, God. I mean, there was at least 10-hour queues each time. So I'm going to say probably about 30 hours of my life wasted
for
a little video game console.
I paid $50 extra someone handed it to me in a parking lot in Sherman Oaks.
Way less than minimum wage, by the way, just to pay the $50.
Yeah.
Glad you called, sir. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. Monica, please hang on. Drew, Tyler, Jose, we'll get to everybody next right after this on K-Rock. Great news coming up on the Kevin Abedin Show because it's Monday. We'll get right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about the dumb things that you waited in line for. First, a couple of texts. Listen to this. Eddie writes in, my son and I waited for over 2 hours to eat some chicken at a place called Howlin' Ray's here in L.A.
So good. It's worth the line.
That's what he said. They have a constant line just like that, but it's totally worth it. That's a Nashville-based chicken place or something that's just a rage here, right?
It's well worth it. But by the way, I also found a way to not wait in line there.
You pay some guy to wait in line for you?
Kind of. My friends at the Hundreds, a clothing line, had a special night there. You paid like $50. You got the dinner and a shirt. And I was like, that's worth it. It's worth it to me. I'll cheat every time, guys.
Rich Jensen doesn't wait for anything, you guys.
No. That's the only reason I work.
Here's a beer fan. In fact, online, he's that one beer guy. Waited in line 10-plus hours for a 10-ounce pour of the number one voted beer called Pliny the Younger. He says it was worth it as well. That's a long time to wait for beer.
You're not drunk at all. You're just tired.
And Judy writes in, I waited in a long line all the way around the building, a 7-Eleven store, to see and purchase Quickie Mart Simpsons merchandise.
I remember it.
This was when the 7-Eleven was all decked out to look like the one on the show.
Yeah
I remember the one. I remember there were like 10 of them or something like that, right?
Yeah,
around the country.
I remember it.
All right, let's get back to some calls. Why don't we start with, let's start with Drew, please. Line 6 up first on the Kevin Abedin Show, 1-800-520-1067. Drew, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What'd you wait in line for?
No problem. I was waiting for a popcorn tin at Disneyland.
What?
For the Pixar stuff? Yeah, 2 hours.
Drew.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be an intervention, but we got to talk about this. Why is this Disney popcorn container important?
It was for my son.
Aww. Aww. Drew literally found the only way out. Unbelievable.
Drew has no kids.
So your son, quote unquote, is a Pixar collector, like all things Pixar, or just something to do with popcorn that he loves?
The Monster Inc. container. It was $25, by the way.
Oh, wow.
A lot of popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the
2 hours.
Appreciate the call, Drew. Thank you. Let's go to Christina, line 7. Now, she's getting us into a category that I totally forgot about, which is Christmas toys. The hot Christmas toy. I bet there's a million of them out there. What did you wait for, Christina?
I waited for the Furby, unfortunately.
The Furbies.
Well, the sad thing is, I don't even have any, well, at that time, I didn't even have any kids, and it was my friend she wanted to go. So I said, what the heck? I didn't even know what a Furby was. So.
But you know what? Again, like I said, with Christmas toys, I mean, I bet we have a lot of listeners who waited for Cabbage Patch Kids. We have a lot of listeners who waited for Beanie Babies. Yeah. I mean, there is often something out there that people just have to have. But without kids, Christina, it's a little creepy. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Max Fullerton, line 8. I want to see if Jensen has a way around this one. Mm-hmm. Max, welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
How's it going? My wife and I waited at a Best Buy or Target in Tustin for a couple hours on a Black Friday one time for a wireless printer. Come to find out, we get the printer a couple of days later. It's still on sale. So we didn't have to wait.
Yeah, because printers are awful. They're always $40. They get you on the ink.
Yeah, no one was in that line for a printer, Max.
Max, wait in line. You know what I want to do? I want to wait in line hours. I want to sleep outside of a Target or a Best Buy for hours outside waiting for Black Friday, sleep with the people, talk to them, and then walk up and go, I'll get a AA batteries, please.
Right. That's essentially what he did.
Yeah, and they say, excuse me? I go, I'll just take the AA batteries. They go, there's a sale? Just act out. What are we talking about? I just need batteries.
Thank you, Max. Appreciate the call. Oh. All right, let me get a judgment on this from the room. What about the people who really do camp out on Black Friday weekend to be the first in line at the Best Buy because they know that they're advertising a $5,000 TV for $1,500 and there's only like one of them? What about those people? That's legit, right?
You gave a good amount of savings there, and I kind of can't argue $3,500 off. I'm just not sure that that's the case every time, because I've looked these deals up when they're inside a Best Buy in a tent. I'll divide it by the amount of hours they're in there, and it's like you're getting nothing. You're wasting your life.
Okay. All right. Paris is on line 6. She's in La Cañada. I think she has a legitimate one. And Allie, I'm surprised you weren't in the same line. Paris, go ahead, please.
So we waited for about 24 hours at the Hall H Comic Con line to listen to the panel of the original Star Wars cast.
I like that.
Something that'll never happen again.
You know what I did? Yeah. I sat my butt down at home with the air conditioning, had a soda pop, and I watched it online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched the feed.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And you know what?
Like
you guys both have the same amount of information.
Absolutely.
Now, wait a second. I thought a lot of those Comic-Con panels, they don't stream and don't tape them for air.
That was the one where Carrie Fisher came out with her dog, right?
Yep. Well,
that's afterwards,
we were rewarded because they took all of us down to
a concert,
a venue. And we got the full symphony orchestra. It was fantastic.
I watched that, too.
Also, they had my favorite part of that story is that they had panels right after that.
Right.
And it was to like 3 people.
Empty. Yeah. No one was there.
Everybody was
amazing.
At the Star Wars thing.
Paris, in retrospect, would you have rather spent the 24 hours waiting and seen it in person, or would you rather have been in air-conditioned comfort with soda pop like Allie was and watched it on a screen?
Oh, waiting in person with all the fans. It was fantastic. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I'll ask you on your deathbed, Paris.
No.
Right before you're dying. Your last breath, I'm going to go, do you happy you did that 24 hours? And I want you to go, no. And then your eyes close.
You can get that one day back.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Guys, guess who's in the next room ready to join us after 9 a.m.?
Who?
Well, you should know. It's Rob Corddry. It's on the sheet right in front of you.
I'm sorry.
We don't read the sheets.
Rob Corddry, you guys.
Yay!
I love Rob Corddry.
From TV's Ballers. You must know him, Jensen.
I
know everybody.
We've hung out. Children's Hospital. Great show he was on. He was incredible in that.
He's the funniest guy in the world. And by the way, his co-star from Children's Hospital, what's his face? directed the new Dog Days movie that he's in.
Ken Marino.
Ken Marino, yeah.
So funny.
So we'll chat about all of that on the way, plus your Kaboo tickets for the festival in Del Mar with Imagine Dragons, Foo Fighters, and so much more. We got those as well. So a hot 9 o'clock hour coming up. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday.
You know he's a masshole, right?
Yeah, you guys love to chat about that when he comes in.
Just saying.
You know, his brother's so funny, too.
Yes.
Nate, so
right?
funny. Yeah.
Nate Cordry. And I believe he has a sister named Laura.
I don't know if she's funny, so I don't care.
I don't know.
Yeah. She might be a nurse or something. And then what do we matter? What does it matter?
There are funny nurses. My mother's a nurse. Kevin's mother is a nurse.
Well, I should take this back quick.
Right? Huh? Why do you hate nurses?
Real backpedal on my last day.
Okay, you guys, this is just a weird story. So Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves were in Bram Stoker's Dracula back in 1992, and there was a scene where they got married. Well, it turns out, according to Winona, she told Entertainment Weekly that in that scene, Francis Ford Coppola, the film's director, used a real Romanian priest. And she thinks they might actually be married in real life.
Hmm.
I feel like there's, like, more legalities that go into it. Like, you have to have
you have to sign with a witness.
Yes.
But in Romania, right? Anything can happen.
That's what I'm saying.
When in Romania, you know what I mean?
That is the place.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Allie. Here in the United States, just saying the words "I do" means nothing unless you file the paperwork for the marriage license with a court.
Yeah.
But Romania.
You never know.
Right?
You never know.
And you may be saying to yourself, why are we just hearing this? That's crazy. It happened in 1992. Well, she has a movie coming out with Keanu Reeves called Destination Wedding on August 31st. Boy, does that look like something you could see.
You know what? Here's the thing. I know the kids say stuff like this, but I ship that relationship.
You need to stop
I'm a real millennial at 38 years old. I'm very hip, and I ship Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder.
Do you really?
Kind of. They're cool. They're two cool 90s icons.
They are.
Yeah. Both have had their troubles.
And I don't think either of them are publicly connected to someone.
No.
So why not?
Ship, baby, ship.
All right. Well, it's been shipped.
Thank you.
That is just weird. We didn't see this coming. We didn't believe it, even after we heard about it over and over again, that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra were even dating. We didn't believe it to be real at all. Well, they have made it absolutely official that they are indeed getting married. They announced their engagement after taking part in a ceremony in India called Roka. And apparently it's a very beautiful ceremony where it's the official announcement of the consent of both the boy and the girl getting married. And they posted these pictures of each other with each other's families. And dare I say, it was beautiful. And now I ship it. I am on board with Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra.
Nick Jonas is so cute.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll second it. It has been shipped.
It has been shipped. Mm-hmm. So you need two.
I think that's for the official marriage.
Okay.
But as far as just shipping it alone, it gets them into the orbit.
Okay, got it.
Intercourse? Right.
I don't know if that took place. There were no pictures of that on Instagram.
Oh, that's right.
What do you think about it being Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra?
Look, if the kids are happy, let them be happy.
I think they're happy. The pictures are beautiful and their families are... Oh, it's gorgeous, you guys.
Who's richer in that couple, by the way?
Oh, good question.
I would think Nick would be, right?
Yeah, you would assume
they
so.
They sold a lot of records.
Yeah, close to a level playing field, though.
But wasn't she a huge star before she even made
she
it
was.
Out here?
And he splits it with his brothers.
Right.
And he probably got screwed over by somebody because he was a kid star.
There had to be some creepy guy in Orlando taking a lot of their money and then went to jail.
Absolutely.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It happens with all boy bands.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk more about Crazy Rich Asians. The movie.
The film, yeah.
The film. As well as, bad time to be at a Backstreet Boys concert during a storm. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, some birthdays for you. Amy Adams, Robert Plant, Al Roker.
I pooped my pants.
Andrew Garfield, Demi Lovato, KRS-One, and Fred Durst. And that's what's happening.
Anna Arce from Baldwin Park just won her tickets for a one-day pass to Kaboo at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Jensen, who should she check out at that festival this weekend?
Oh, probably Culture Club. You should check out Harvey Danger.
I don't think any of them are actually participating. No, I think this is Foo Fighters, and this is Jimmy Eat World, and this is Incubus.
Oh.
And this is Robert Plant and Alice in Chains and all the rest. But congratulations, you're set to win coming up at noon, 3, 6, and 9. Is it my imagination, or did it get just very handsome in here right now?
Yes, it did.
It's, ladies and gentlemen, the great Rob Corddry joins us in studio.
Hey, great Harvey Danger reference, by the way. That is really good.
Every time I walk into the K-Rock studios, the first thing that comes to mind is Harvey Danger.
Yeah. What a flagpole sitter.
Rob, you're old. Did you ever do any flagpole sitting coming up?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but yeah, probably a couple times in my life.
No, I was talking about the sex position.
Oh, is that what it is? Flagpole sitting?
No, it's actually sitting on a flagpole. Oh. It was very popular like in the 30s, I think. So, Rob...
right after we fit a bunch of my friends into a telephone booth.
Exactly, yes.
A lot of fun. It was a ripping good time.
You have been very generous with your time over many, many years on the Kevin Beach. I don't even remember how long it's been since you've been coming in, but you've joined us down at Comic-Con. You've been in the studio with us a bunch of times. But the last time you were supposed to be on last year, there was some sort of incident.
Yes.
And you had to cancel, which is very rare for you because you're a reliable dude.
Yes.
Now, I have it under authority that it was poop-related.
Yes.
True or false?
Yes, yeah, good. All right, okay, we're talking about the same thing. I was nervous for a minute. Yes. That's
poop-related.
Okay, because I said to him before, I was terrified, and he looked at me like, why?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it was poop-related. I never found out.
It's just poop-related.
I had no idea.
No, just poo-poo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had a bunch of press that day all throughout this great city of ours that I had to cancel.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
was it
like
a food issue or was it a stomach
bug? I don't remember. I mean, it was a while ago, but I was just, you know, it's one of those like you got to commit to being on the toilet pretty much all day.
It's the fear.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have done phoners from the bathroom, though, right?
I could have done a phoner, sure. I guess we just didn't get together in time. That would have been fun.
Although it might have been unpleasant, depending on how bad it was.
I was not feeling well.
Aww.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Yeah.
So how are you doing now?
Now I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When he called in with the excuse, was it he's got the poops? Well, I mean, how did you know that?
I believe my PR person at the time called it the poopies. Yeah.
Well, she's looking out for you.
She's 7 years old also.
Yes.
You have a 7-year-old publicist.
Yeah.
So, Rob, first of all, we should say congratulations on Ballers being back. Season 4 back on HBO, 10 o'clock Sunday nights. I love the first two episodes of this season. Love it, love it, love it. Now, are you actually filming because the show, you and The Rock moved to Los Angeles for some new business away from Miami. So are you actually able to film more in California?
Oh, we film it all in California now. And last season as well, which I would have told you if I was here.
Oh.
But last season we doubled Los Angeles for Miami. So we were still pretending. But now we just dropped all pretense. And
wait,
everything
on TV isn't real?
I know. A lot of green. We dropped the green screen budget. So we just said, all right, they're in L.A.
Were you like, why didn't you do this for the first 2 years so we'd be closer to family?
No kidding.
Seriously.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. It's like Miami was a character in the show.
Okay.
Is it an issue since The Rock makes a new film every 30 days and then has to be out promoting him? I'm trying to figure out how you even get a schedule together to shoot Ballers, because my sense is that they call the cast and they go, all right, Dwayne's got 3:40 to 4 o'clock available on Tuesday. Everybody meet at the spot. We'll shoot a couple of scenes.
Yeah, I don't know how they get a schedule together for anything, to tell you the truth, let alone with The Rock. Last year, I remember he wasn't there for the first and last week of shooting, so they had to block shoot a lot of stuff, you know, meaning that they'd pull things from other episodes down or up, and we'd shoot it out of sequence, like drastically out of sequence. So that was about it, though. Like he pretty much commits to something and he does it.
That was weird when you guys did the two episodes in the set of Jumanji. Just I didn't buy into it.
You could see that?
Yeah, I figured it out pretty quickly. Yeah, just the jungle and the...
Yeah, no, we tried to say it was the tar pits.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
It did not work.
No,
and then it was so weird seeing him on top of that skyscraper. It was like, why is he climbing this building in the middle of Ballers?
He's a good agent.
Yeah.
Are you guys actual friends?
Well, what do you mean? Define friends.
Well, you're clearly co-workers and you have fantastic camaraderie as partners on the show. But is The Rock a guy that when you have the opportunity to go out to dinner with or go to the movies or just have him over to the house, is that something you guys do?
No. Listen, I'm, like you said, old. And I don't hang out with anybody except my wife and kids for the most part. And when I do, it's a real event for me.
But you have so many funny friends. I would think you would totally hang out with your funny friends.
I would love to. It's just so hard to leave my house.
It is true, though, because you and I kind of roll in the same-ish circle. And I do remember when you got that show, I was like, oh, Rob's the friend who knows The Rock the most now. Like, I feel like you know him.
I guess that's true.
You know him very well. We were hanging out at UCB, and then you're like, bye, gonna go work with The Rock. Like, that's a definite glow up. That's a step up.
Yeah, so you have like 1 degree
I do.
Of separation.
The Rock.
To The Rock.
So when I see at 4 a.m. that he's at the gym, I go, he's gonna go see Rob later. Like, I just know it immediately.
Do you guys text?
No, I don't text. I don't know if, I don't, he, we DM.
Oh, okay.
So that's like the level below texting.
It's one below. Yeah.
One so below, I'd say we're friends. We're work friends. I mean, you know, I have a good time with them at work, but I don't like hanging out with people. I like to keep it small. How often do you see me around, Jensen?
A couple times a year, twice a year.
Two or three times a year. That's what I'm good for.
He makes sure it's at a scene everyone sees him at. Yeah. Rob Corddry, everybody.
And then I bow when I leave.
Yeah. He travels around with a medieval announcer. The Corddrys have arrived.
Yes. Yeah.
They're from television's Ballers.
Yeah, it puts some people off.
It's a little weird.
Have you gone to see John David Washington's Black Klansman movie yet?
No, I
haven't. It's amazing.
Because I'm super racist.
has nothing to do with scheduling. Yeah.
No, I can't wait, though. JD would be about the only thing that would get me to a Spike Lee movie.
He's so great. He's so great on Ballers.
And he's the best. And, you know, if you go through the whole, I think we've had 2 scenes together, maybe 3.
Oh, interesting.
And we'll force them. We'll force them. Like, if we're in the same party scene, we'll force a scene together just because we like each other so much. And but our storylines just do not connect. And but when they do, we love it because he's such a great guy. He ends every day when you're leaving, getting into your car. He hugs you and goes, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. It's like very it's touching.
It's a very sweet thing.
He's a very sweet man. He's happy to be there.
The coolest thing about Ballers, and there's a lot of cool things, but the coolest thing to me is that this is Elizabeth Warren's favorite television show.
Yeah. It's insane.
That's crazy
it's
to
insane.
Me. I mean, have you guys invited her to set?
I've spoken to her about this. I had the opportunity to go on Sam B's show and speak to her about it. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, it was the first thing, because it's on the first page of her book, book.
Yeah.
She loves Ballers. I asked, she's, and you know what? She's the fiscal policy senator. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made more sense to me in that, you know, it's at people in all different stages of their financial existences, you know, whether they've lost money, whether they're having it for the first time, and sort of the managing of that. So I think that's interesting to her. Also, she started binge watching it right when she knew that Trump was going to win.
Right when
it started to turn on election night, she just turned on
escaped.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That's amazing.
Awesome. That's very funny.
So if Senator Warren becomes our next president, it sounds like free HBO for everybody, right? Like that's going to be her platform to make sure we can all watch Ballers.
I don't even have HBO. That would be fantastic.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's expensive.
There's no way you don't have HBO. God.
No, I'm on DirecTV. You got to get a whole package. You get HBO. You got to have...
Rob Corddry, who goes out twice a year, doesn't see any movies, doesn't have HBO. He is selling himself as the coolest 80-year-old.
I have HBO now. That's what, you know. Yeah. You don't need HBO anymore. You get HBO now. It's great. Yeah.
And you're using a friend's password, too.
Yeah, of course.
Rob Corddry is here, by the way. One more Ballers question. Then when we come back, we'll talk all about Dog Days. And that question for you is Russell Brand, new to the cast. I would never in a million years have predicted that he would end up on Ballers, but it super works. It super works.
Yeah, it's great.
How fun is that, and how cool is it spending all that time at the beach?
Well, I'm not a beach guy.
Rob Corddry so really much. Painted himself as the life of the party over here.
I like my block, one restaurant at the end of it. No, I'm not. I don't need the ocean and the sand.
I hate it too. You're preaching
to
the choir.
Yeah, it's a whole to do.
Are you comfortable being in show business, Rob? Was it a mistake as a career for you?
No,
it's tough for an agoraphobic guy to be big in Hollywood, though.
I'm not. It's a job. I had no idea it was, you had to go out and do things.
Like when you're in a scene with Russell Brand, are you comfortable with that? Or do you feel like one of these things is not like the other?
Yeah, no, I'm very comfortable. I think we have a very good rapport, too. But I just love watching him on set because, it's really hard to write for Russell Brand. And so he improvises most of that stuff that he says, my. And he's such a verbal dude that it's fun to watch. It's like I really admire that in him. I'm jealous of it.
Yeah, well, it's a great addition. We're only two episodes in. You can still get caught up. Season 4, HBO Sunday nights. We're talking Ballers. Rob Corddry is here. Dog Days and more with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Hey, Rob Corddry.
Hi.
You having fun?
Yeah.
you think about Kevin and Bean when you're not here sometimes?
Yes.
You go, I wonder how those guys are.
I do. I and a lot of people ask me, too. They're like, what are you going to do Kevin and Bean again?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I was just totally kidding. But that's awesome.
I don't know. No, I say, I don't know. I think I lost friend of the show status when I had the poopies.
Never. Never. You are always welcome here, my friend. We were talking about Ballers on HBO Sunday nights. You also have a film in theaters right now called Dog Days. So people who are crushing hard on the Corddry, they got their choice, man.
Yeah.
Big screen or little screen?
Everywhere you look, if you're looking in two directions.
Now, I'm sure you've been asked, we have many thoughts about this, especially Allie, but I'm sure you've been asked this question a million times, but I just, please, forgive me, I have to ask.
Go ahead.
Because your character is married to Eva Longoria, does that make this science fiction or fantasy?
Oh, boo. Oh,
come on.
Boo.
Now.
He's right next to me.
She's in love with me. I was joking about that very thing, I think, on the first day of shooting. Like, well, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. You're her type. Tony Parker, are you? Yeah, I see it. Absolutely.
Allie, you were so in love with seeing Dog Days.
Here's the thing. So they show the preview when we had heard, okay, Rob Corddry's in this new movie. Do we want to have him in for this? We watched the trailer, and both Kevin and Bean were like, oh, come on, Rob, a movie about dogs. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I was in love with the trailer, couldn't wait to see the movie. It is everything that's good that the world needs right now. It is sweet. It is lovely. There are so many dogs. I will say this. I'm glad that I got the screener, though, because I do this thing, and I do it when I'm scrolling Instagram or Twitter. When I see a dog, I go, hi! So throughout the whole movie, I just kept going, puppy! Oh, doggy! It was concerning.
Yeah,
I was alone
annoying.
In my house, and I thought, if I was at the theater, could I stop this? It is a lovely movie.
It's adorable.
It is very sweet. It is a very sweet. Ken Marino, the director,
who's like a hero of mine.
He's
and mine as well. Like, he's one of my best friends, and he called me up one day, and he said, hey, do you want to do a movie that doesn't have cursing in it, that, you know, something that maybe our kids can go see? And I was like, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And I literally will do anything that guy tells me to do. And, and so he told me to do that movie.
I was in just hearing Adam Pally.
Erica, Ken's wife, is one of the writers of the film.
Yes.
Erica Oyama, who's
That's
a great writer.
Such a good writer.
Yeah, she wrote Burning Love, which Ken directed, and we both were in.
Yep.
And she is hilarious.
She's one of the best. She wrote a lot of Children's Hospital as well.
Yes,
and,
She can do
anything.
This cast is insane, by the way.
Oh, God.
And I know that you guys run in a circle of very funny people, so that's why I'm not surprised to see Thomas Lennon in the movie and Tig Notaro in the movie. But people like Nina Dobrev, who's awesome, Ron Cephas, who you remember as Randall's dad on This Is Us, is wonderful in the movie. Vanessa Hudgens, by the way, I fell in love with her all over again. Could she be any more delightful?
She's adorable.
She's adorable.
And the great Lauren Lapkus. So
and
funny.
Lapkus right. is
little
very
Los
funny.
Angeles legend, yeah.
Now, you only dealt with Mabel the pug. That was the dog in your household.
Yeah.
But Charlie, who was Adam Pally's dog, is a dick, right?
Oh, I love Charlie.
I think Charlie was probably easier to hang out with because he actually had a trainer.
Yeah. Plus, pugs, their farts are unlike any other dog breed.
Dog, I mean, I love pugs.
Yeah.
I think they're so cute, but their skin's so oily.
Yeah.
And it's like, I got to wash my hands all the time.
They are like little penguins.
Yeah.
Little, they really are.
And this dog, it was too fat. Apparently, fat dogs can't be trained. At least
hold on a second
for show business.
Is that a fact? Is that a fact? Really?
Yeah.
That sounds like the kind of thing we get picketed for.
Yes. they're yeah. Fat dogs. At least. Perhaps showbiz trainers won't train them, or they because they are, I don't know. They let themselves go. They have
well, wait,
control
they have to be,
issues,
but they
or
have
something.
To be food motivated. You think those dogs would be easier to train because clearly they'll do anything for food.
Listen, man, I'm just telling you what they told
what they
me.
Said.
They said this is going to be super hard for you.
Wow,
because this
wow.
dog's not going to do anything.
So you did a film with a dog, did scenes with them, and this dog had no trainer.
Well, there was a trainer there, but it wasn't a. It was just a trainer. It wasn't
just like not part of
it
that dog's
show,
life.
A yeah. showbiz, you know, a season show. Biz dog trainer who that's a weird gang
right yeah. right they also because they never just have dogs they also have like vultures
we got a monkey yeah. on yeah. Children's Hospital once and Rob Hubel and I walked into the room and the trainer was feeding it Doritos and I immediately got really sad and the guy goes all right yeah you can just do it she's not gonna move just don't look at her in the eye and were there, Hubel freaked out
were there any scenes either that you were in or that your cast members were that Ken told you about where the whole thing got screwed up by something a dog did or didn't do
either the dog or the child yes all the time pretty much every scene it was it was her first movie she was lovely she's so cute
adorable right?
She did
child.
Have a trainer though it
she
a
did
trainer.
Have a trainer mm-hmm. yes she was not
just fed
as
her
fat
Doritos.
As the yeah. dog yeah they just did throw doggy treats at her and but she was really cute it was just you know inexperienced it was her first time yeah. so you know at times it was
Well, let me call out two other cast members. We're talking to Rob Corddry about his film in theaters now that's fun for the whole family, especially if you like dogs. It's called Dog Days. Let me just say that Tig Notaro is hilarious.
So funny.
Hilarious.
And everything.
In the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she really is. And I'm off the Stranger Things bandwagon. But this Finn Wolfhard has grown up to be a terrific actor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was great on the show, great. But even as he ages, though, I mean, he was great in this role.
Yeah, and I got to have a scene with him. And I forget now, what's his character's name on Stranger Things? I knew it then.
Oh, that's not a question I'm going to be able to answer, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just kept
your
calling
Wikipedia
him
is closed.
I said, listen, let's just say it was Sean.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a Stranger Things name.
Yeah. I said... Do you have it, Allie?
I'm looking quick.
All right, let's say Sean.
I'll get it by the
okay.
time.
And I would say, you know, I just told them right off the bat, I'm only calling you Sean.
He goes, that's not my name in Stranger Things. Yeah. He's a real jerk. I'm not going to yes and you there. what is his name? It's
going
to kill us, guys.
Going
there's people yelling at their radio.
Four different pages.
Well, I
am the
being Stranger Things.
He's probably yelling at his radio right now. Sorry, pal.
Somebody,
I
am Stranger Things.
Very upsetting. Hold on.
It's just, I'm just blank.
His name in Stranger Things is Mike Wheeler.
His name is Stranger Things?
His name is Stranger Things in the
Mike
show
Wheeler.
Mike Wheeler. Yeah.
Mike
There's
Wheeler.
A show Mike Wheeler on Amazon.
Yeah.
He plays Stranger Things.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Well, the movie is very funny, you guys, and it does have lots of cute dogs in
very
it.
Sweet.
And by the way, Jensen and I were talking earlier, first thing this morning, that we were stunned that Rob Hubel wasn't in this movie.
I know.
Because it's totally what he would do.
I know.
I was looking for all the gang.
He must have made Ken mad or something.
Oh,
right?
Boy. Let's start that.
I mean, Hubel's a handful.
Yeah.
As you know, Jensen.
A like, real problem.
No one likes to spend that much time with Rob Hubel.
No,
so.
You're just like, get him out of here. He's just too annoying.
Yeah.
Go see Dog Days, and don't forget Ballers, Sunday nights at 10 on HBO. Before Rob goes, we've got 60 seconds. Allie is going to rapid fire at you a series of questions. Just answer, please. First things that come to your mind, here's Rob Corddry.
I'm the best.
Speaking of ballers, are you more of a baller, shot caller, or brawler?
Brawler.
First job ever?
Working, a paper route.
If you weren't an actor, what would you be doing?
I'd be a truck driver.
Have you ever been in an intersection and had the urge just to gun the car into someone walking in front of you?
No.
If you could be anyone for a day, who would it be?
I would be my wife.
And why?
Because I just want to know what it's like to be that intelligent.
Oh.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Not the answer we were expecting.
Not at all.
Common sense.
Yeah.
I want to know what that's like.
I thought it was going to get creepy and sexual.
Yeah. You're stranded on a deserted island. You can only bring one album. What is it?
Harvey Danger?
Yeah.
Harvey Danger.
Harvey Danger.
What does the rock smell like?
Smells like perfection.
Would you rather be friends with a guy named Steve or Chuck?
Steve.
Your go-to karaoke song.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I have. Oh, it is. It's Sarah Smiles.
Oh, Hall & Oates.
And I do this cute thing because when I go with my wife, I put my wife's name because it's Sandra. So I say Sandra Smiles.
Jesus.
I'm just in love,
bro,
guys.
What is going on?
Happening?
Why do we have to live up to this man?
In love.
God. Unbelievable.
I'm a great husband.
Jesus. Never leaves his house, in love with his wife. What do we all have to live up to this standard?
Yeah. You're going to get kicked out of Hollywood or something, Rob.
Oh, man. I know. I do not fit in.
All right. No more poopies. Come see us again soon, all right?
Thank you very much. It was great being here.
Just got a text from a listener named Roger from Squim, Washington. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm on a plane right now. It's an Alaska Horizon Air from Seattle to Boise. It's the same kind of plane that guy stole last week and did the loop-de-loop and crashed. I'm going to be really pissed if we don't do at least one loop, since now we have a pilot who knows what he's doing. Anyway, I'll let you know. Peace, Roger. I don't think you necessarily on a little commuter flight to Boise. I don't necessarily think you want your pilot doing tricks.
I don't think so.
I think it's fun for any of the passengers on board.
Even if he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
it could go wrong.
Very wrong.
And very upsetting for breakfast service as well. So thank you for checking in anyway, Roger. All right, 9:40, time for a final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
So Bean sent me the story, and I can't wrap my head around it. So if you're a James Bond fan, you can get an Aston Martin replica for $3.5 million. They're basically going to make those same Aston Martin DB5s that were popularized in 1964's classic Goldfinger.
Now, James Bond, the franchise, is known for its fancy cars.
Yes.
But that is the OG most famous of all the Bond cars,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, it was amazing in Goldfinger. It was just the coolest looking car ever. But these cars will also boast functioning gadgets like a revolving number plate. All ones that mimic, you know, what you see throughout the Bond franchise.
What's the downside here?
Well, here's the part of the article that I just went, I'm sorry, what? Though the vehicles aren't road legal. Wait, wait, so I can't actually drive this on the street?
It's museum only.
It's just for you to look at and be like, look at this crazy gadget. I'm spending $3.5 million for that?
I have a feeling people who spend that kind of money are just idiots. You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to drive it. They just are like, oh, come in my house and check out this car. Also, you know what car? The only car I would spend $3.5 million for from any movie is the Miata in MacGruber.
Oh, yeah.
That car ruled.
Yeah, it's good looking. He had to pull his
car stereo out. That's what I'd buy.
But how? But wouldn't you say the most famous car of all has got to be the original Batmobile, right? From the TV series?
Sure.
Yeah. Bullet.
Or
Bullet is up there.
The Bullet's a famous car, too.
Yeah.
What about Andy's pink Carmagean, Pretty in Pink, right?
I mean,
just it's pretty, how pretty, about low,
Kit?
Pretty low on the list.
Kit, sure.
Knight Rider would be a good car to own.
Yeah.
The A-Team, their B.A. Baracus van.
The van, sure. Yeah. What about the Bug and Herbie Lovebug?
The Lindsay Lohan film?
Well, the ones before.
It's best known as the Lindsay Lohan film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know what that is. It's a TV show.
Would you want to drive any of these on the street, though? I know you ought to be able to. Like your story says, it's not road legal. But wouldn't want to take something out that's that valuable, I don't think, and put it on the street.
LA listeners, locals, they know that I see the Scooby-Doo mystery van all the time. Down near Burbank and the 101 there. It's always around.
Whoa.
And I'm like, who's that creepball? So I guess you don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
At all.
That's a weird story, though, Allie.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong. Aston Martins are notorious for needing upkeep, breaking down, that type of thing, right?
I don't know if that's the case anymore. There were a lot of British cars like the Range Rover and others that were notorious for having to be in the shop. But I think they've all improved to a certain extent at this point. I don't know that's still the case. For $3.5 million, you better not ever have to take that into the shop.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're wondering, it was in Goldfinger, Thunderball, GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, and actor Daniel Craig has also appeared with the vehicle in Casino Royale, Skyfall, and Spectre.
Whoa,
so
that's
this
quite
is,
a history.
Yeah, quite a history with a car, so make them road legal.
Yeah, I like the idea that just like in one of the James Bonds, he had like a Toyota Corolla.
Right.
Just in one of them, he had a normal man car, like a dad car.
Yeah. They seek out different sponsorships for every movie, so that's why they have a different drink. That's why they have a different watch. It all depends on who ponies up.
Yeah.
True story. Bean, I know you like to go to funerals of people you don't know.
I mean, I have done that.
Mm-hmm. Are you interested in Aretha Franklin's funeral?
On the 28th? You bet.
Well, there's a bunch of different dates, but yeah, 28th and 29th are open casket viewings.
That's my favorite.
That's the one you want to do?
Yeah, that's front row.
Yeah. The viewings will be held from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the H. Wright Museum of African American History. This is all taking place back in Detroit, but... Wow, it's a four-day celebration of life, including multiple events and performances, and she will be laid to rest on August 31st. I believe those will be just friends and selected guests for that service. But
that's the American Express presale. You have to.
Have,
it's like the meet and greet you pay extra for.
Stop it.
We were talking earlier about things that you waited in line for. Mm-hmm. There will be people who show up those days that the body is on view who will stand in line for 10 hours
Absolutely.
Just to have that 30 seconds to walk by the casket and say goodbye.
Yeah, the viewing is, like I said, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on two separate days. There's for sure going to be lines. Crazy lines.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you guys, because the MTV Video Music Awards are tonight,
mm-hmm.
they have said that they will be paying tribute to Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
Who in the universe of MTV, people that they would consider acceptable to put on that channel anymore, could appropriately commemorate the career of Aretha Franklin?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, you know what it means to me.
So Cardi B...
No,
Cardi
that's,
B for the win?
That's Ariana Grande.
Oh, that's
Please,
Ariana.
Know my impressions. That's Ariana.
Okay, sorry.
And then, I like Balenciagos, the ones that look like socks. Aretha Franklin have R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Do you think they'll call Jennifer Hudson? Is she too obvious? Or do you think that's the likely choice? Because there's talk that she will be playing Queen of Soul in a movie coming up, too.
I think Adele. Mary J. Blige.
I'd love it if it were Mary. I'd love that. And Mary was
you guys
a huge
are
fan.
Probably going to go, wait, what?
Yeah.
But if you were to listen to this woman when she gets going, she kills it. And that is Fantasia.
Fantasia Barrino?
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. The MTV millennials are like, there she is, Fantasia Barrino. Been waiting for her.
I feel like they're not going to, love a Mary J.
Maybe not.
Millennials,
Miley Cyrus could do it.
Okay, you need to stop.
Hey, Miley Cyrus can sing.
Being able to sing and being able to honor Aretha's memory, that's
so
tough.
So you're not thinking Kesha?
No, not so much.
I honestly, and I don't know if this is fair to say, I honestly think it has to be an African-American woman because that's part of her legacy as being such a breakthrough artist.
So like Rachel Dolezal?
Maybe not her.
I think she identifies.
I think that's a good question. Mary J. seems like a home run to me.
I think I would love that. I think that would be great. I think if I could choose, I would choose her. I don't think Fantasia is a bad idea at all, Allie. I just think she's too far off the pop culture radar right now to get the call. But she would kill it, I think.
I like Jennifer Hudson, too. You said that. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see you tonight.
Yolanda Adams. But again, no one in
My
the audience
God,
would know.
Really?
And but she's 60.
I'm just saying.
These deep cuts.
I'm just saying, and you would never, I don't say you would never have Patti LaBelle, but just because of their history, that would kind of be cool.
You know, I wish you were programming for MTV. I got to be honest with you. the demographic would be hot as fire,
I'm
as they say.
I'm just saying, like, you don't just throw someone up there all willy-nilly because the kids know them. This is Aretha. Don't have anyone if you have to put someone up there just so the kids go, oh, okay, now I recognize the song because
Yo,
JoJo's
this party
singing.
Is lit. We hope you're having a good time at the MTV Music Awards. Yo, give it up now for Patti LaBelle.
Absolute silence.
When Whitney died ahead of the Grammy weekend, wasn't it Jennifer Hudson they brought out to sing?
I mean, the show went on, which is still the greatest part of that story.
I know, but am I remembering correctly? Didn't they bring her into service to sing Whitney? Didn't she come out and do "I Will Always Love You"? Or am I remembering that incorrectly?
I don't know. I mean,
don't remember.
It sounds like
Maybe.
It happened.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, I've got some
Listen,
thoughts.
I'm still trying to figure out what the kid's name on Stranger Things is. So.
It's Mike Wheeler. Still Mike Wheeler.
Mike, it's really weird. I couldn't find it at all on my computer.
Also, like, Mike is the name?
Yeah.
There's like a soul-stealing monster, and they're like, call that kid Mike.
It's very true.
Oh, guys, tough time to be a Backstreet Boys fan. More than a dozen people hoping to attend their concert in Oklahoma on Saturday were injured when severe weather took down an outdoor concert entrance structure.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
I'm sorry, but all patrons in the area were asked to move, seek shelter, but about 150 people were standing in line for the Backstreet Boys, and they did not heed the staff's warning. They weren't moving. They were in line. They were going to see Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, they're hard-headed. They still listen to the Backstreet Boys.
Might be that as well. So, yeah. Bad situation. People got care on-site, and then a bunch were transported to nearby hospitals. But Nick Carter tweeted that he was praying for wounded concert-goers, so they have that.
Mm. I like the Backstreet Boy who looks like a magician. What's that one's name?
Is that Kevin?
Kevin, yeah. I like magician looks.
Do you?
Yeah, just cool.
Yeah.
It's like
it seems
like
he'd always be in a cape.
Yeah. He's just like, let me check out this card trick.
For sure.
Yeah. He has an overly sculptured beard for folks who don't know why he looks like a magician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems cool.
Some birthdays for you. Fred Durst.
Yeah!
Robert Plant. Al Roker.
I pooped my pants.
Amy Adams. Demi Lovato. KRS-One and Andrew Garfield, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. Thank you, Jensen.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Hey, on your drive home, more Kaboo tickets on the show tomorrow, and the return, 50-50 of Kevin. You know how his travel plans usually work out. I guess we'll find out first thing in the morning.
I'll keep my ringer on.
Please do.